Here's CBS's Anthony Mason.
The jobs, when they're coming, are coming at discount stores. The low end of the economy is what's doing well. People still want discounts. When they shop, they're shopping thrifty. They're going to Walmart. Those kinds of companies are benefiting in this kind of economy. But for the economy really to gain any steam, people have to not be concerned they're going to lose their job. And the country is still worried about that.
I'm Dan Revive. A survey indicates that almost 6 out of 10 Americans who've been laid off in the past year have new jobs, most full-time, but they had to be flexible. One quarter of the re-employed moved to another city or state, and
just over half have taken their skills and transferred them to a different industry.
Jason Ferrara at CareerBuilder.com says the main way to find work was through personal recommendations. Just behind that, job listings at websites.
This is Peter Mayer live at the White House. President Obama later today will announce more initiatives aimed at boosting small business growth and hiring. He wants Congress to at least temporarily extend 2 lending programs for small businesses. One plan would expand a program that could help refinance a lot of commercial real estate that could otherwise face foreclosure. The administration is also calling for increasing the cap on some small business loans. The president plans more tax breaks for small businesses.
As Toyota's president speaks in Japan, Jim Lentz, the company's head of North American sales, says it's
all hands on deck, redoubling all their efforts to ensure customers are satisfied with the fix for their vehicles.
Toyota dealers are getting repair kits for gas pedals. Prius braking systems are now getting a look, and WWJ's Jeff Gilbert says there's more.
Toyota adding the Lexus HS250H hybrid to the list of models it's checking out because its braking system is similar to the Prius. Now, it sells in far smaller numbers, so Toyota's had no complaints about the Lexus yet. Meanwhile, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood says he has been assured by Toyota's president that the company takes U.S. safety concerns very seriously.
Ford now says it will repair more than 17,000 Mercury Milan and Ford Fusion hybrids. Some drivers have said at times it feels like the brakes have failed. The groundhog wasn't kidding when he said there'd be 6 more weeks of winter. A big snowstorm is going to pound the mid-Atlantic region. Starting this afternoon, there'll be gusty winds between up to 2 feet of snow could dump on Washington, D.C. and Baltimore, and some of it may even be starting now. In Rockville, Maryland, Rennell McKnight taking no chances.
I'm going to go to my daughter's house and get snowed in with them because I can't move 20 inches of snow around if I have to dig out.
Already this season, the D.C. Baltimore area has gotten 30 to 35 inches of snow, and this could be the snowiest winter there on record. The doctor for the late king of pop may give himself up today at a courthouse in L.A. Details now from CBS's Steve Futterman, who joins us live.
And Dave, he may or he may not. It's unclear now whether formal involuntary manslaughter charges will be filed today against Michael Jackson's former live-in doctor, Conrad Murray. We were led to believe all this would occur today, but now procedural issues have arisen over just how Murray will be taken into custody, and everything may be on hold. Live in Los Angeles, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
It's 4 minutes after the hour.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide. Very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind the plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snowplows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
By the way, Bill Press, no intellectual giant.
I enjoyed his company. He had a warmth and brash humor that made up for his constant references to a former L.A. life. The retinue of women who supposedly still called him long distance every night. His past football exploits. The celebrities he knew.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Out of many, we are one. That while we breathe, we hope. And where we are met with cynicism and doubt, and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can.
Snow alert. Snow alert. Warning. They're telling us up to 2 feet of snow here in the nation's capital. Yeah, but we haven't let that scare us away. We're still here for you this Friday, February 5. The Bill Press Show, the official morning show of the Obama generation, snow or no snow. Good to have you with us, and good to see you today. 866-55-PRESS is our toll-free number, 866-55-77-377. Your calls, your comments on the big issues of the day. We've been talking Toyota. We've been talking Super Bowl. We've been talking also about the kidnappers in Haiti, now convicted of child abduction. Lots of big issues on the plate as we go into the weekend, and we've got the Super Bowl and Sarah Palin at the Teabagger Convention coming up this weekend. What an exciting time to be alive and to be on talk radio. I hope you're enjoying it as much as we are. Again, 866-55-PRESS is the toll free number, and with that we say good morning to Team Press, Peter Ogburn, Dan Henning,
and we have ourselves a blizzard.
A blizzard.
Getting ready for the snow.
Getting ready. Is it snowing yet?
No snow yet.
No, but they have already canceled flights. Yes, canceled school events and all kinds of civic events. And also they've canceled train service south of Washington, D.C. And the subway has announced that it's going to shut down as soon as the first snowflake hits all stations that are above ground in Washington, D.C. So one would think it is, and the with the super, not going to snow in Miami at any rate, right?
No,
it may rain.
Things might get really bad if it snows in Miami.
But it may rain. But I don't know. But yesterday, the both quarterbacks trotted out of the huddle to express confidence in what's going to happen on Sunday. Most confident at all, perhaps Peyton Manning. From the Colts, but he still says you never know what's going to decide the outcome of the game.
Somebody stepping up along the way in a critical situation, making a play, and you never know just who it might be.
Never know. Never know what's going to happen, and it could be. Something's going to happen, and Saints turn out on top, huh?
You know, both of these teams have a history this season of coming back in the fourth quarter and winning big games. So it really is. I mean, you'd have to have, you know, a 24-point lead in the third quarter to feel comfortable, because either team could
anything
come back.
Could happen.
Anything could happen.
Dan, you said earlier the Vegas is
5.5.
5.5 spread?
Yeah, 5-point favorite. The Colts are favored by 5. And the over-under is 56.5.
That's not a lot. No, I mean, you look at that, a touchdown.
Yeah, right. So, okay. That is the big thing for the weekend, a big thing for this hour. Sam Stein from Huffington Post is going to be joining us a little bit later. We'll kick off this hour with Jake Tapper, senior White House correspondent for ABC News, who's hosting this week. But first,
this is the Full Court Press.
Well, the Super Bowl is certainly topping headlines this weekend. The Vince Lombardi Trophy, one of the most recognizable prizes in all of sports, and it will be won Sunday at the big game, created by Tiffany and Company. It costs a mere $12,000, which is really not that expensive for this. The NFL also buys the winning team 150 rings at $5,000 each. Even the losing team, they get 125 pieces of jewelry.
Do they get a ring?
Yeah.
The losing team?
I think, like a ring, like a second place, you know, or AFC, a championship thing. Yeah, absolutely. Digging through various Vegas and online casinos, you'll find a lot of strange bets ahead of Sunday's Super Bowl, like how long will it take Carrie Underwood to sing the national anthem? The over-under is 2 minutes, 1 second. The bigger payoff is if you bet under, because Super Bowl arrangements tend to be a bit more elaborate. Everyone's a show-off when 90 million people in the nation are watching.
You could bet on how long the
how long
the Star-Spangled Banner.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, the strangest bet I ever made on the Super Bowl was the hang time of the opening kickoff.
Oh, how long the ball would sit up in the air?
You can't get how long it was in the air.
You could bet on anything.
You really can. You could bet on anything.
NASA getting ready for its first launch of the year. Space Shuttle Endeavour is scheduled to lift off early Sunday, 4:39 a.m. Eastern, for the International Space Station. They're set to install the new Tranquility node as part of a 13-day mission.
This Sunday? I haven't heard anything about that.
Well,
they're going to miss the Super Bowl.
No, I'm sure they have a TV in space.
That's right, but they'll be here for Sarah Palin's speech Saturday night, so that's okay. Sir. Yeah, indeed. But the big event this weekend, no, it's not the not Sarah Palin's speech to the Tea Party convention. It is not the Super Bowl. It's not even the snowstorm blizzard expected for Washington, D.C. It's this week on ABC News Sunday morning with guest host Jake Tapper, ABC's chief White House correspondent, who joins us this morning. Hello, Jake. Congratulations.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Fine. You know, you're stepping into some big shoes there. Barbara Waters there last week. So, the pressure's really on, huh?
Barbara did a great show. We'll have a great show. We got an exclusive interview with the Treasury Secretary, Tim Geithner. I know I don't need to tell you and your listeners, the latest jobs numbers are going to come out any minute. So we'll have a lot to talk about with him, about the jobs numbers, about stimulus, about PARP, about AIG and Wall Street. So I'm really looking forward to it.
I thought the AIG bonuses this week would get more attention than they did, actually. I mean, to me, they're so outrageous, $100 million from this company that we bailed out. But everybody seemed to think, well, the law is the law, the contracts are the contracts, and just move on.
Yeah, I think the White House did an effective job of spinning that as old news. The only real new news was the fact that $20 million of it had been returned from the previous year. I agree with you, though. I mean, we owe 80%. The taxpayers own 80% of this company.
Yeah, indeed. But just on Geithner for a second, Jake, you know, he does get a lot of criticism, senators saying he ought to resign and some public interest groups, but Obama, from what I can gather, seems to still have confidence in Geithner, and
Alice.
Is that Alice in the background? All right.
Alice is in the background.
I should have introduced her as well.
No, but I have to tell you, there's something about when I do your show that she really, like, I do other shows, and she doesn't get as interested in getting on air. But for your show, she comes makes herself known.
She always delivers for the Bill Press Show.
Normally, he frightens small children, so it's all right.
No, not this one. This one, like, Alice, you want to say hi to Bill? Hi, Bill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Alice. So, Geithner, he does still seem to have the president's confidence, and he's there to stay, I guess, right?
I think so. I mean, that's the story with a lot of cabinet secretaries, that they have the president's full confidence until they don't.
That's right, yeah.
But I don't think that there's anything that you can point to that Secretary Geithner has done that's like a major gaffe or a major mistake, in terms of the economy not recovering the way that they wanted to. I mean, there are a lot of people on the president's economic team who are having a big hand in shaping the economic policy, including the budget chief, Peter Orszag, and Larry Summers, and Christy Romer. So, I mean, there are a lot of people. It's not just Geithner, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Jake, let's talk about a couple of issues that came up this week in the briefing. So, one on health care. Some Democratic senators, among them Al Franken, Sherrod Brown from Ohio, have been critical of the White House and president in particular, saying he's walked away from health, suggesting that he's walked away from health care since Scott Brown's victory in Massachusetts. How do you find the White House responding to that?
Well, they reject that, but it's so strange because you point out, it's been pointed out, you know, Sherrod Brown and Al Franken, these are not critics of President Obama.
Right.
And they're saying that the president is no longer, a lot of them have been saying he hasn't really been exerting his leadership as much as they wish he had. But now they're saying it's even less. when she wants to get my attention, she calls me Dick. Alice, I'm on the radio. 1 minute, baby. 1 minute. So okay. Sorry about that.
That's
upstairs.
Fine. That's
well,
fine.
We have a sick baby upstairs, which is why.
Oh, I see. So,
in any case, I think the idea is that. What were we talking about?
We were talking about health care.
Well, I mean, I think
the White House's response. Yeah,
the White House is very focused right now on conveying that they're focused on jobs. And, you know, I think that all Democrats right now are very concerned about the tone of the electorate, what's brewing out there. We're all here in D.C. preparing for a big winter storm, and I think they're preparing for a big November storm.
Mm-hmm. And it seemed to me that the sensitivity on the part of the senators, which I understand, was the president's publicly saying, we can't give it up, you know, we got to keep going, but that privately he's not providing any leadership or maybe he's not engaged, right?
Well, they reject that. The White House rejects
right.
it. They say that he is engaged. His team is behind the scenes trying to figure out a way forward. But, you know, they don't have 60 votes now. And remember how tough it was to even get the votes when they had 60 votes.
Yep.
But now they don't have 60 votes. So what's the way forward? They've been talking about a lot of different strategies, whether it's just having the House pass the Senate bill and then you pass another bill that's kind of a fix of the Senate bill, and so many people in the House don't like it. You continue negotiations behind the scenes on reconciling the House and Senate bill and then send them back. But the bottom line is they don't have 60 votes in the Senate. They have a lot of Democrats up for reelection this year who are very, very worried about following through on this. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you hear the president say, he said it just yesterday, that it's a time for Democrats to do what they think is right. To do what they think is right, and then the 2010 will take care of itself.
Okay, you want to give Alice a hug there before I ask you the next question?
No, I'm okay. She's
okay.
Good.
Okay. The other issue that really got a pretty sharp response from Robert Gibbs are the continued attacks by Republicans on the president's handling of the underwear bomber, particularly reading the Miranda rights.
I'm surprised this hasn't gotten more attention.
But I want your response, but let's listen first to Mitch McConnell yesterday bringing Larry King into the mix.
He was given a 50-minute interrogation. Probably Larry King has interrogated people longer and better than that, after which he was assigned a lawyer who told him to shut up. That is not the way to deal with someone in the war on terror.
So the Republicans think they've got a real issue here.
I don't know. I know. I have heard some Democrats object to Senator McConnell, what they characterize as his impugning the FBI, because, you know, it's not like Abdul Muttalib was put in a room and then, like, Peter Orszag and Robert Gibbs went in there and interrogated him. These were professionals who have been doing this for years, and I've heard some Democrats say that this is really outrageous and Senator McConnell owes the FBI an apology. But the larger issue here of treating Abdul Muttalib as a criminal defendant, of reading him his Miranda rights, and then indicting him in a criminal court, this is an area that Republicans feel they have a lot of traction. And this week, Democrats have started to really push back on it. You saw John Brennan, the Homeland Security czar, issue a letter to Congress pointing out that of the detainees released from Guantanamo that have returned to terrorism, all of them were released under Bush, that the Obama method of vetting and assessing the threats before releasing them is superior. You have Attorney General Holder writing a very strong letter to McConnell saying that these are the same methods that President Bush used. Richard Reid, the alleged or attempted rather shoe bomber in 2001, was Mirandized within 5 minutes of getting off the plane.
Yeah, and four times he was Mirandized, Richard Reid, right?
Yeah, now the argument Republicans will say is, that wasn't right. That was in 2001 before we had the military commission set up, before we had all these systems in place. But that's the argument. And the truth of the matter is, only twice in recent years, since 9/11, only two times has somebody arrested in the U.S. been arrested as an enemy combatant, Jose Padilla and then mm-hmm. the second gentleman. And both times it resulted in extensive litigation, and ultimately they were put back in the criminal justice system. But the argument that is being made by Republicans is you need to at least try to do that early on so you can get as much intelligence as you can. The White House responded, he's giving us intelligence right now because we got the cooperation of his family.
Yeah, and I think Gibbs pointed out to me correctly that that they were accusing Obama of doing, criticizing him for doing the same things that George Bush had done in dealing with some of these terrorists. Jake Tapper is our guest, the senior White House correspondent for ABC News, and he will be hosting this week, this Sunday morning. Don't miss it. Jake, one last question. On the question of a news conference, I thought it was interesting. The president hasn't had one since last July 22nd. Robert Gibbs, they don't seem to be in any hurry to schedule another primetime news conference.
Well, think about what happened last time.
Yeah, exactly.
He had a long primetime news conference, and at the very end, Lynn Sweet asked the president about his opinion about the arrest of Henry Louis Gates, and he said that the Cambridge police
acted stupidly,
and that resulted in a crazy media sideshow of the beer summit for a week, and I think... That's probably left a bad taste in the president's mouth. They say that he's going to do one soon, but I agree with you. This is a very, very long time to go without having done a press conference. And I certainly don't like it.
And he clearly prefers one-on-one interviews where there's obviously more control, I think, too. Well, Jake, we'll be watching Sunday morning. Tim Geithner, and you got your roundtable as well.
We got a great roundtable. We got, who do we have? Ruth Marcus, Bill. I'm sorry, Al Hunt, confusing my Eminence Grease with white hair. Al Hunt, and then we also have John Podesta and George Will and Peggy Noonan. So it's a great roundtable.
Oh, yeah, that'll be very lively. All right, good job, Jake, and good luck. We'll be watching.
Thank you so much, Bill.
All right, bye, Alice.
Podcasts, Twitter feed, and Bill's White House Report exclusively at the brand new BillPressShow.com. This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
You know. Hey, friends, you've heard me talk about Vermont teddy bears for years because I know what a big hit they are. Well, this year, you ought to give it a try, too. Think of it this way. Women love a guy that makes them smile. Trust me, the bear makes her smile. And women love a guy that's his own man. Well, this Valentine's Day is a chance to show her you're different. Forget flowers or chocolates. With Vermont teddy bears, you'll get a smile every day, long after the flowers are wilted and the chocolates are gone. That's the beautiful part. Every time she sees that bear, two things happen. She thinks of you, and she smiles. You could even choose a bestseller like Lover Boy or Love Bandit. Yes, send her a Vermont teddy bear for Valentine's Day. Send her a Vermont teddy bear for Valentine's Day. Make sure she gets it at work so she can show it and you off, or send it to her at home with a special love note. Delivery before Valentine's Day is guaranteed. Just call 1-800-829-BEAR or shop online at VermontTeddyBear.com. And make sure to tell them Bill Press sent you.
Want to know something cool about Geico and renter's insurance?
Do I?
Okay, well, let's say you buy some presents, but they get stolen.
Oh, mercy me.
Let me finish. Well, Geico can help with that, even if they're stolen from your car or right out of your hands.
My word.
Not done yet. And coverage is as little as $12 a month. You just kissed me.
I get excited.
Yeah, maybe a little.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit Geico.com.
I don't want just any motor oil.
The kind they test before it's used. I want the one they tested
after it was used. In the engine of a New York
taxi for thousands of miles and still
pass the standards for brand new oil for wear protection,
rust protection,
and viscosity.
That's the kind of durability I want in my car.
I don't want just any oil.
I want Quaker State.
Quaker State.
Quaker State.
Real durable oil.
Find out more at QuakerState.com.
I've got a 1040, not so easy, it makes no sense to me. A W-2 1099, so many forms, so little time. Federal, state, FICA, they take my money, who the heck are they? The paperwork is such a mess, will I owe the IRS? Somebody help me.
eFile.com is here to help you. Prepare and e-file your taxes now at eFile.com. Start with the free federal edition. Faster refunds at eFile.com.
Hey, guys, Valentine's Day is coming fast.
Pro Flowers is offering one dozen roses starting at just $19.99. That's $19.99 for one dozen roses with a 7-day freshness guarantee. Plus, get a free glass vase when you order today. Where else can you find Valentine's roses for just $19.99? To guarantee delivery by Valentine's Day, click on the Pro Flowers ad showing now. Or visit ProFlowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and enter password HOT19. That's ProFlowers.com. Radio microphone, password HOT19.
Now at the Home Depot, get any carpet installed for just $97. All brands, all styles, all through your home, just $97. And with our low prices on carpet, you can get your whole project done for the lowest total cost. So you can stop putting it off and let us start putting it in. With basic whole house carpet installation for just $97. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, license numbers, and price match policy.
Groom can help anyone lose weight regardless of body type or ability to exercise. Based on years of research and testing, we guarantee satisfaction. If you don't lose the weight, you never pay for the product. Again, if you are not serious about losing weight, please do not call. Only serious inquiries will qualify for the free weight loss trial. Call the Foundation for Healthier Living at 1-800-500-8094. That's 1-800-500-8094.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
This is the Bill Press Show.
It is indeed the Bill Press Show, brought to you today by the Laborers International Union of North America. Good men and women of the Laborers Union. Working hard on construction projects, providing better jobs all across the country. For more information, go to their website, LIUNA, L-I-U-N-A, LIUNABuildsAmerica.org. Yesterday at the press briefing at the White House, I tried to nail Robert Gibbs down a little bit on what's going on in Pakistan. As we talked yesterday, three American soldiers killed in Pakistan, which raises the question about what is our American presence in that country. My question to Gibbs.
Robert, following the loss of three American soldiers in Pakistan, can you tell us how many American troops are on the ground in Pakistan and what their mission is?
Well, obviously there were those that were had been invited by the Pakistanis that, along with school children, were cowardly killed by terrorists in Pakistan.
Obviously, he did not answer the question, so I tried again.
The extent of the number of troops, and I guess if you add the increased drone flights and the American troops on the ground, is there a third war? Are we at war in Pakistan? If not, what do you call it?
We provide assistance to the Pakistanis as they increase their efforts in regions of their country along the Afghanistan border that harbor those that seek to do ill to Pakistanis, Afghans, and Americans.
Still didn't get an answer. How many American troops are in Pakistan? You'd probably like to know. I'd like to know. I'd like to know on what authority American troops are in Pakistan. Are there hundreds? Are there thousands? Are they combat troops? Has Congress approved this mission? I'll keep asking that question. We'll come back with Sam Stein from Huffington Post.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Don't forget your loved ones this Valentine's Day. Get a dozen ProFlowers roses for only $19.99 from FreeRosesForAYear.com. That's right, a dozen roses and a glass vase, only $19.99. And enter to win free roses for an entire year for your loved one. Go to FreeRosesForAYear.com. Order a dozen ProFlowers roses for just $19.99 and enter to win today. This offer is only available at FreeRosesForAYear.com. That's FreeRosesForAYear.com.
Introducing the new Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express. The only charge card that earns triple points on airfare, double points on gas and groceries, a single point on everything else. Points you can use for over a million rewards, including travel on any airline, anytime. The annual fee for the first year is on us, and you can earn 10,000 bonus points with your first purchase. Start earning brilliantly. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com to apply.
See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
Turn right in one half mile.
I'm not great with directions.
Turn right now.
But now my GPS gets me wherever I need to go. TurboTax lets me do my taxes the same way. It guides me step by step through my return, searching for every deduction I deserve and helping me arrive at my maximum refund, guaranteed. No wonder it's the most trusted tax software in America.
See for yourself at TurboTax.com. Choose easy. Money back guarantee details at TurboTax.com. Trusted brand claim based on survey July 2009.
Independent Power Systems is an authorized distributor of Kyocera high-quality, high-performance solar electric systems and modules, and a proud sponsor of AM 760 Radio. Did you know that electricity rates have gone up by 38% in the last year, and XL Energy has recently reduced the Solar Rewards rebate again? Act now before the opportunity to take advantage of the best solar rebate in the country passes you by. Call Independent Power Systems today to learn how incentives pay for up to 50% of the cost of a solar electric system. That's up to $30,000 off the regular cost. Let Independent Power Systems show you how the 30% federal tax credit and the XL rebate make now the best time ever to buy a solar system. Call Independent Power Systems today at 303-443-0115. That's 303-443-0115. Or visit solaris.com to learn more. That's solaris.com. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
From Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking about
savings.
Hey, Flo, I'd love to save on my car insurance, but I don't know where to start.
You start right here. We'll compare our Progressive Direct rate to other top companies so you get a great price.
You do that for me?
Just for you and everyone else.
Everyone!
While you're online, check out Progressive.com today for a free quote. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Aggressive Talk.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Here we go, 33 minutes after the hour now. It is the Bill Press Show, coming to you live from a snowbound Washington, D.C. Well, they say we're going to be by the end of the day, but we are not yet. We're getting ready for up to 2 feet of snow. And we're coming to you live coast to coast from our studio here on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. Joining us, a man who covers the U.S. Capitol for Huffington Post, as well as the White House. Busy, busy man, but he's taking time to join us this morning. It's a long time that we've been wanting to get Sam Stein back on the show. We're glad he finally made it. Sam, what took you so long?
Well, your producers bumped me for every B-list celebrity in Washington, D.C. So.
Oh, if I had only known that, I would never have let that happen. Hey, Sam, good morning. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too.
You've been writing a lot about the apparent dissatisfaction or unrest on the part of some Democratic senators, supporters of President Obama, about not getting enough direction on health care, right? Sherrod Brown?
Yeah. There's Sherrod Brown, and then yesterday I put up a story about a couple hours after Barack Obama spoke to the Democratic caucus on Wednesday. His chief advisor, David Axelrod, addressed a bunch of the senators alongside some other people, and Al Franken really laid into him and asked some very pointed questions, saying, why is the White House basically ceding its leadership responsibilities on health care? What's the game plan going forward? why have we not heard more from the president about what he wants and so on and so forth. And I'm told that there was a few other senators who were also pretty peeved with Axelrod, including Bernie Sanders and some others. And so, you know, it's not just an isolated incident. I think there's some growing unrest among Senate Democrats over
there. Well, it's also not a new issue or a new charge. I mean, there have been criticism. In fact, I have voiced that criticism from the beginning, like on the public plan option where the president didn't come out and say, you remember, at one briefing, I asked, tried to get Gibbs just to say which version of the health plan does he favor, the House bill or the Senate bill. They wouldn't even say at that point, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've been utterly hands-off on this whole process, except for when the two bills passed House and the Senate committee. They jumped in on that point. But beyond that, they've let Congress do its thing. And, you know, the Senate's not exactly the most efficient or clean body in the world. And what's going to happen to legislation when you leave it to the Senate is pretty bad stuff. So, you know, they've gone a bill farther than anyone else has, as they always remind us. But there's been a downside to that, which is you now have too many vested interests, and you don't have a White House that knows how to lead on this, basically.
Well, related to that, you were as surprised as I was yesterday at the briefing, and maybe we should tell our listeners that, you know, the part of the briefing room that Robert Gibbs, I think, dreads the most is the fourth and fifth row, because usually there's a David Korn, Mother Jones, Sam Stein, Huffington Post, and Bill Press all seated together. And then we had Carrie Elleveld from The Advocate, right? So it's
this, of course. It's the most feared foursome, obviously, in all of the media. So, yeah.
Right. Well, someone asked Robert Gibbs about the fact that Scott Brown was going to be sworn in, and does this change your legislative agenda? And I was stunned that Gibbs basically said, oh, it does. It does for us, and it does for the Republicans. I mean, they're acknowledging that the election of one senator, where the Democrats still have a 59-vote advantage, right, it changes the whole equation. I don't get it.
Well, you know, having 18 more senators than your opponent, I guess, is a bad thing in Washington, D.C. You know, I was also struck that, you know, even though he said the calculus was different, I was hoping, or not hoping, I was looking for him to say, essentially, we want to see more actual filibusters out of the, you know, Republicans. If they're going to hold up everything, let's make them talk. I also was hoping that he would say the president's considering doing recess appointments for some of these nominees, Craig Becker, Don Johnson, and
yes,
the like.
Yes, you asked that, question yesterday. You did.
And he said, and he said, no, he didn't say any of it, which strikes me as sort of, you know, really not aggressive or not aggressive enough. I mean, here's a White House that's been pushed around essentially all year by 40 Republican senators. Its legislative agenda held up when they have such a clear majority. And in response to all that, and now we have a story that Richard Shelby, Senator Shelby, is holding up 70 nominees by himself, just putting holds on them.
Yeah,
in response to all of this, what are they doing? They're saying, well, the calculus has changed, but, you know, tactically we're going to do the same things we've always done. Well, I don't see how that's good enough for their agenda. They need to start doing things a bit more aggressively.
But here's what I don't understand, and you just touched on it. The filibuster, technically, is supposed to mean that the senator, you got the right to filibuster, but you've got to be up there at the podium talking the entire time. When you stop talking, the filibuster's over, or the vote occurs, right?
Yeah.
And during that time, the Senate can conduct no other business. Now, they accepted these BS kind of temporary rules that say, exceptions to rules that say, no, we don't have to do that. So now they just have the shadow filibuster. Why not go back to making the Republicans stand up there and defend their positions?
Well, I mean, when you talk to people on the Hill, they say there's a whole lot of parliamentary hurdles that prevent actual filibusters from occurring. I don't pretend to understand all of it. But, you know, look at what Shelby is doing right now, essentially.
Yeah.
He's holding up 70 members because he's threatening to filibuster. These 70 members were all supposed to be considered via unanimous consent, which is just a straight, you know, if no one disagrees, they're going to be put in place. He says, no, I'm going to disagree, but not only that, I'm going to muck up the process so that we're going to have to do cloture votes on all of these. Each cloture vote requires 30 hours, at least. So you have 70 senators, 30 hours. I'm not a mathematician, but that's a lot of hours. Basically, Shelby's saying, if you don't adhere to my one earmark request, I'm going to shut down the Senate for, you know, a good portion of this year, here, over 70 nominees.
But my point is, make him, right?
Yes,
make
but,
him,
no, but Bill,
make
if
him
they
get
made
up
him.
There, make him get up there and read the telephone book if
sure.
necessary and show the world what an idiot he is.
I agree, and I think it would work. The problem is that if Shelby and some other Republicans, you know, say, fine, we're going to do it, then you risk literally shutting the Senate down for a good portion of its time and no other legislative activity.
Yes, but remember.
I mean, the whole Senate's dysfunctional. The whole process is dysfunctional.
Yeah.
So it's not, you need actual fundamental reform of the process is what
right.
my point is.
Yes, and my point also is they shut it down. I mean, it's not the worst thing that could happen. And remember what happened when Newt Gingrich shut the House down. Yeah.
I mean, it came back and bit him in the ass.
Exactly. Sam Stein's our guest from Huffington Post, covering the Hill and the White House. Now, Sam, you and David Corn stirred things up a little bit. I signed on to your attempt as well. That the last Friday, a week ago today, and I was not really sure he should have done it, but the president walked into the lion's den, into the House Republican caucus up in Annapolis, and took questions for an hour and 20 minutes. And I think really showed that he knew his stuff and the Republicans didn't. I mean, it was a boffo performance on Obama's part. You would like to see these happen with some regularity?
Yeah, I mean, I actually didn't sign on to David's petition, but I fully support it in theory. It's just a refreshing thing to happen. As a journalist, you know, it creates great copy. As, you know, someone
right.
who generally likes the back and forth of politics, I think it's unbelievably important and successful. And, you know, it's not just good theater. I think it's good for the entire country to see the arguments placed side by side. I mean, it's so common and unoriginal for a senator to go in front of a camera, read his talking points, and then disappear without ever being challenged. And likewise for a president in some respects. This at least puts the two in the same arena. It creates some fireworks and so on and so forth. If you haven't seen it already, read Dana Milbank's column this morning, because he talks about that with Scott Brown, basically already, you know, regurgitating GOP talking points 10 minutes after he arrived in his SUV from Massachusetts. It's like, it's nice to see these guys actually put on their toes once in a while.
Yeah.
And I think the best way to do it is to have them face each other.
And it's really a test of their mettle. I mean, for Obama to stand up there for an hour and 20 minutes, you know, and,
oh, yeah.
and they could have made him look like a fool, but they didn't. He sort of made them look like a fool. I thought so. The White House, the response when this was asked, David asked it a couple of days ago, and the response on Bill Burton's part was, no, we can never recreate that spontaneity, so nice concept, but no cigar, right? Is that what you're hearing?
Basically, it was sort of a lame response. You know, the one thing you hear when you talk to people who've actually watched this transpire in England, because they do it regularly, is that, you know, it became a sort of a forum where the prime minister's own party would ask these softball questions like, don't you think, you know, all of England is magical or something? And then the opposition party would ask all these incredibly toxic gotcha questions, and it sort of devolved into its, you know, partisan roots, essentially. But still, it beats what we do now, which is nothing.
Yeah.
And I'd really, you know, this was an idea proposed by John McCain, actually, on the campaign trail,
mm-hmm.
To have a regular question time. And, you know, Obama's adopted John McCain's proposal for a tax on health insurance plans. I feel like he could take one more thing from McCain. He also did the discretionary caps on spending. Now let's take the question time from John McCain's platform, and we'll have a McCain presidency.
All right. So final question. What time is your flight to Nashville today? You're going down for the Tea Party convention?
if I beat the snow, right? No, not going to Nashville. Luckily, the good people at MSNBC and C-SPAN will carry Sarah Palin live. I don't know what to think about this Tea Party. I mean, I'm kind of excited, but at the same time, it's, you know, it's sort of lame. You know, all these people have backed out. Now we're dealing with Tom Tancredo,
yeah.
Sarah Palin. And I'm a little bit over Sarah Palin, I have to say. You know, it's the thrill is gone.
The thrill never arrived for me. But you, you would not pay $349 to hear Sarah Palin speak tomorrow night?
It's a good question.
I don't know. Yeah, right.
Probably not.
All right. You got better.
I used my media credentials. That's what I did.
You got it. Sam Stein, thanks for joining us. Anytime, Sam. I don't care what Peter says. Anytime you want to come on, you just call me.
I'll have to talk to Peter about the way I was treated this past week.
All right. See you later. Have a good weekend.
Take care.
Thanks, Sam. Sam Stein from Huffington Post.
The Bill Press Show continues. You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
know.
Okay, that's $11.96. Whoa, what are you doing?
What? I'm giving you cash.
But you're pulling the little guy apart.
Oh, this? No, it's just the money I'm saving with Geico.
But he's the sack of money with the googly eyes. He has a face.
Yeah, but he's money. And now I'm spending it. Here, take a bill.
Oh, actually, that didn't seem to hurt him at all.
No, we do this all the time.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Now at the Home Depot, get any carpet installed for just $97. All brands, all styles, all through your home, just $97. And with our low prices on carpet, you can get your whole project done for the lowest total cost. So you can stop putting it off and let us start putting it in. With basic whole house carpet installation for just $97. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, license numbers, and price match policy.
Guys, Valentine's Day is almost here. If you have someone special this Valentine's Day, send them a dozen assorted roses from Pro Flowers for just $19.99 before shipping and tax. Regardless of your other plans, it's a great way to show your appreciation. 12 roses for $19.99, a free glass vase, and a 100% freshness guarantee. To ensure delivery by Valentine's Day, click on the Pro Flowers ad showing now. Or visit ProFlowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and enter password HOT19. That's ProFlowers.com, radio microphone, password HOT19.
Talk.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looks so young.
How are ordinary women across America looking years younger? They've discovered the proven breakthrough called Hydroxytone. It erases wrinkles, tightens skin, and makes frown lines disappear from view. See for yourself by requesting a risk-free trial today.
She always looked good to me. I can't believe how young she looks.
For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-500-0698. But hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-500-0698. 1-800-500-0698.
Independent Power Systems is an authorized distributor of Kyocera high-quality, high-performance solar electric systems and modules, and a proud sponsor of AM 760 Radio. Did you know that electricity rates have gone up by 38% in the last year, and XL Energy has recently reduced the Solar Rewards rebate again? Act now before the opportunity to take advantage of the best solar rebate in the country passes you by. Call Independent Power Systems today to learn how incentives pay for up to 50% of the cost of a solar electric system. That's up to $30,000 off the regular cost. Let Independent Power Systems show you how the 30% federal tax credit and the XL rebate make now the best time ever to buy a solar system. Call Independent Power Systems today at 303-443-0115. That's 303-443-0115. Or visit solarips.com to learn more. That's solarips.com. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
Listen to AM 760 on your cell phone. Just download the app at am760.net.
Previously on the Bill Press Show.
Governor Brian Schweitzer joining us.
People haven't been paying attention to the good news. You know what the good news is? Times are getting better, so good that the CEO of Goldman Sachs gave him a $100 million raise to himself. Now that means things are looking up.
Podcasts on demand. Log on to BillPressShow.com. Purchase a Bill Press podcast subscription and never miss a minute. This is the Bill Press Show.
12 minutes ago now before the top of the hour here on Friday, February 5. Big news, breaking news. The unemployment rate has now fallen to 9.7%, below 10% for the first time in a couple of quarters. It's not so hot, but it's going in the right direction. Unfortunately, 20,000 jobs lost in the month of January. That's better than last January, which was 800,000, but still 20,000 too many. Those are the job numbers we've been waiting for, and now what you've really been waiting for. Our favorite little sound moments, favorite little clips of the week. We start at the bottom, work our way up to the top. Scott Brown, the new senator from Massachusetts, saying, hey, it's not bad that I posed nude. Look who else did.
Number five.
It was Cosmo. It wasn't Playgirl, it was Cosmo. You know, being Burt Reynolds, Arnold Schwarzenegger, John Davidson, David Hasselhoff also did it.
Oh, yeah. I'm in all kinds of good company posing nude.
If there's anyone I want to be like, it's David Hasselhoff.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. President Obama, a week ago, speaking to Republicans, saying, I don't like what you said about my health care.
number four.
If you were to listen to the debate and, frankly, how some of you went after this bill, you'd think that this thing was some Bolshevik plot.
A Bolshevik plot. Yeah, and on Tuesday, President Obama going up to Nashua, New Hampshire, talking jobs, jobs, jobs. A former congressman in the audience has stood up to ask a question and started out by identifying himself.
Number three.
My name is Dick Sweat. I live in Bow, New Hampshire. Hey, Dick, you got a big fan club here. I used to occupy the seat that Paul Hodes holds now, and he's doing a great job.
He's a good guy.
He is.
There he is. Yes, and his name is really Dick Sweat. President Obama then, last Saturday, went over to the Verizon Center for the Duke-Georgetown basketball game. He wasn't happy enough sitting in the front row. He decided he was going to join the announcers and do a little color commentary. So he steps into the booth and he gets his chance.
Number two.
You want to handle the replay? Well, this was a terrific spin move, and he didn't get any help coming back.
That's well done. You can handle this job if you need it. Well, obviously, you've got one that's requiring a lot of your time and attention, but it looked like...
After retirement, I'm coming after your job, bud. Just let you know.
Okay,
so
all right.
You either have three more years or seven. I'm not going to quit, but you need to plan accordingly. Because I'm going to do some play-by-play.
The man knows his basketball, indeed, and he showed it there, and he's got a job. Got a job waiting for him 7 years from now. You know, don't talk about none of those talk about 3 years from now. 7 years from now, he could have a job for him if he wants it, right? Well, you know, what the hell?
He could do it.
He could do
it. He certainly had the skill to do it.
All right, and out in Las Vegas, yes, we have right up, as we've said, someday on the National Mall, there's going to be a monument to this man. He's right up there with our great American heroes, and he was the first to tell you the ranks of people that he should be counted among. Marcus Beston is his name, and he is America's first legal male prostitute.
Number one.
I'm basically doing what Rosa Parks did when she decided to sit up front on the bus instead of the back, you know, or what Gandhi did when he's had the sit-down protests, you know, against the British embassy. You know, I'm basically trying to reset social norms.
There he is, the next Rosa Parks. The next Martin Luther King Jr., the next Gandhi. Hey, why not the next John the Baptist or Jesus Christ? Marcus Beston, the first legal male prostitute. Those are our clips for the week. I'll tell you one thing, we'll have lots of clips coming out of Nashville this weekend. It is the first Tea Party convention ever. It cost you $549. so much for the populist nature of the tea bagger movement. Sarah Palin, of course, is the keynote speaker, and you can go to the Sarah Palin banquet for only $349. Rush, there's still tickets left. I'll be back with a parting shot.
I know that throughout our history, we have met every great challenge with bold action and big ideas.
You're listening to the official morning show of the Obama generation.
We have a responsibility to ourselves and to our children to do it once again.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Hey, friends, Valentine's Day is coming up soon, so I want to remind you about this amazing offer from my radio listeners. Today is your last chance to get 100 blooms of love plus a free glass vase for only $19.99. That's 100 Valentine's Day blooms for under $20. Trust me, based on my experience, you'll be a hero for sending Pro Flowers. And if you've never tried Pro Flowers, what are you waiting for? Now's your best chance. This 100 blooms of love bouquet is guaranteed to stay fresh for 7 days. And when you order today, you can pick your delivery date for guaranteed Valentine's Day delivery. But this unbelievable deal expires tonight. So here's what I want you to do to get your 100 blooms of love for just $19.99. Call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS and mention PRESS, or even better and easier, go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and enter my password, PRESS. Again, that's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone, type in the password, PRESS. And don't forget, this offer expires tonight.
Are you in sales or do you own your own business?
If so, I want you to think of a number. Think of the amount of money you'd like to make this year. Do you have it? Okay, so what's stopping you? It's not your drive. It's not your skills. Chances are it's your ability to find new leads. It's not easy. But what if someone had already done the work for you? What if with one phone call you could actually get your hands on as many new sales leads as you could handle and actually make that number you have in your head? It's not too good to be true. It's Sales Genie, the leading provider of targeted sales leads for sales professionals. No matter what you're selling or who you're selling to, Sales Genie has the sales leads you need. And right now, they'll give you 100 sales leads free. Call Sales Genie at 1-800-500-9459 and find out how to get 100 sales leads for free. Call 1-800-500-9459. Again, that's 1-800-500-9459.
Have you heard about geothermal, the renewable energy that works even when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow? Not only is geothermal reliable, it can operate at 300 to 600% efficiency. Geothermal is the smartest and greenest way to heat and cool your home. That's why Major Geothermal and Can America Drilling teamed up to offer Denver the peace of mind that your geothermal project is done by some of the top professionals in the field. Climate Master Heat Pumps, one of the top heat pumps in the world, powers the geothermal system. Your geothermal project could also qualify for a 30% tax credit. The goal is to offer a personalized solution to your heating and air conditioning needs to help you maximize your efficiency and reduce your carbon footprint. Call Major Geothermal and Can America Drilling today. 303-424-1622. 303-424-1622. We're online at majorheating.com. Start living greener today.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
The Parting Shot with Bill Press. This is the Bill Press Show.
And winding up the week, our parting shot on Friday, February 5. It was sad to learn of the death of three American soldiers in Pakistan. Sad news, but also curious. What are American troops doing on the ground and in Pakistan in the first place? Congress has never voted to send troops to Pakistan. We, the American people, have never been told about American troops in Pakistan. In fact, when President Obama sent more troops to Afghanistan, we were told there were no troops being sent to Pakistan. So now the question is, how many American troops are in Pakistan? Hundreds? Thousands? And what are they doing there? Are they gathering intelligence? Are they training the Pakistani army? Are they identifying targets for drone missiles? Are they combat troops? Nobody knows. In fact, I asked Press Secretary Robert Gibbs those questions at Thursday's White House press briefing and didn't get any answer. Maybe in the fight against Al-Qaeda, it's important to have American troops in Pakistan. But surely, if we're fighting three wars, not two, if in addition to Iraq and Afghanistan, we're also fighting a war in Pakistan, hey, surely we, the American people, have a right to know that. All right, that's my parting shot for today, folks. Oh, man, here we go into the weekend. Snow, snow, snow. Hope you're prepared for it. Hope you survive it. I'm sure you will. Think of it. It's a weekend with snow, the Super Bowl, and Sarah Palin. What more do you need for a great weekend? Enjoy it, every bit of it. We'll see you right here back on the radio on Monday.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Hi, this is Tom Harbin. Pianos and Pianos, a proud supporter of AM 760, is offering piano lessons for only $19 each. Their state-of-the-art facilities offer grand and vertical pianos, teaching you the joy of playing, as well as learning to write your own music with the latest computer technology. Play all styles, including classical, new age, contemporary, gospel, and more. Just $19. Yes, that's only $19. Only at Pianos and Pianos. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
Hey, it's Dave Sirota. You've got to visit the Yak and Yeti restaurant and brew pub. It's absolutely the best place in town to get incredible Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations in Arvada on Ralston Road and Old Wadsworth and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill at theyakandyeti.com.
760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. Is it a good number or a bad one? The January jobs report that came out 30 minutes ago shows unemployment fell below double digits, all the way down to 9.7% from 10% even in December. But the economy lost 20,000 jobs. Economist Nigel Gold.
Payrolls dropped, but if you take out a sharp drop in construction, which was probably weather-related, the indications are that the economy is now very gradually starting to create jobs.
I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House. This downtick in unemployment will be welcome news here, but officials continue to warn the jobs challenge is far from over. Later today, the president will announce moves to fire up the so-called engine of economic growth, small business. He wants Congress to extend two lending programs that could drive small business growth and hiring, Frank.
On Wall Street, where jobs and the economy are a major concern, S&P futures have turned higher. They're up a point ahead of the opening bell. There is a Mr. Toyota at Toyota. A short time ago, he made a public apology for selling cars and trucks with defective gas pedals and bad brakes. CBS's Jeff Gilbert in Detroit.
Toyota's president apologizing and promising to appoint a special task force to improve quality so that the issues that have come up recently will not repeat themselves. Akio Toyoda not announcing a recall of Prius models with braking issues just yet, saying they are still trying to determine the best course of action. He says Toyota has to earn back the trust of customers.
The industry analyst Michelle Krebs says that won't be easy.
I'm just not sure that this goes far enough in reassuring people that Toyota is doing everything it can to reassure them and to take care of the problem.
A bus company that needs armed guards and pit bulls isn't your ordinary bus company. Live to CBS's Peter King. What's this about?
Well, Greyhound it isn't. Federal agents say several Houston-area bus companies took illegal immigrants to various places around the country, part of a huge smuggling operation. Immigration and Customs officials say some were held in a stash house by guards with pit bulls. They say more than 80 immigrants paid up to $650 for a one-way ticket. The accused smugglers got between $200 and $300 per person.
In a sharp about-face, the Pentagon is going to require American military bases around the world to stock and dispense the so-called morning-after birth control pill. Ted Miller is with the abortion rights group NARAL Pro-Choice.
The snow started coming down
overseas in the military, and it's important that women serving the military have access to the same kind of medication, including emergency contraception, that women stateside do.
What's falling from the sky in Blacksburg, Virginia won't be mistaken for manna from heaven. CBS's Whit Johnson tells us the beginning of what could be a 2-foot snowfall.
We don't have a leader. Do you think we have a leader?
And officials are begging drivers in the area to think twice before going out in the snow. This is CBS News.
Now at the Home Depot, get any carpet installed for just $97. All brands, all styles, all through your home, just $97. And with our low prices on carpet, you can get your whole project done for the lowest total cost. So you can stop putting it off and let us start putting it in. With basic whole house carpet installation for just $97. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, license numbers, and price match policy.
This Valentine's Day, send your sweetheart the gift that shines above all others. Name a star after them. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after your sweetheart and send a beautiful gift package. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for this year's hottest Valentine's Day gift.
It's tea time in Nashville for Tea Party members who don't take kindly to big government and big government spending. CBS News correspondent Steve Capen is there.
We don't have a leader. Do you think we have a leader? We have no leader, which can cause chaos.
This is a political movement without a leader, and that's just fine to most of these Tea Partiers.
It's kind of like the gathering of our founding fathers. You know, they all coming together to talk about common concerns that they have, you know, with the tyrannical government.
Today, speakers and seminars on building political groundwork, which may come in handy this fall in the midterm election.
Singer, songwriter, actor, and producer Justin Timberlake will make the scene today in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He'll be getting the pudding pot at Harvard as the Hasty Pudding Man of the Year. Actress Anne Hathaway was honored as the Hasty Pudding Woman of the Year when she went to Harvard last week. Frank Sedapani, CBS News.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. About 3,000 unionized grocery workers in Colorado at King Soopers and Safeway have voted to approve a new four-year contract. The union that represents workers at Denver, Broomfield, Parker, and Castle Pine stores say the clerks and meat cutters approved the latest offer because it did not increase health insurance premiums for retired workers. Workers in Colorado Springs and Fountain will vote on the deal on Friday. Pueblo workers are voting on Monday. Thousands are expected in downtown Steamboat Springs to wish more than a dozen locals good luck in the 2010 Winter Olympic Games. The town says 5,000 or more could pack the courthouse lawn for a send-off for 17 area Olympians. Steamboat Springs officials say the mountain town has at one point been home to about 80 Olympians. The send-off tonight will include fireworks, a local Olympic flame, and a trampoline show by some former Olympians. Athletes will sign autographs after the party. In sports, the Nashville Predators beat the Colorado Avalanche last night 5-3. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Southbound I-25, loading up and slowing down a little bit, 104 towards 84th. Brakes loose as you're making your way past 36. You'll tap your brakes again once you get towards I-70 down to Spear. Speeds are going to dip down into the 30-mile-an-hour range through there. Southbound 225 also getting crowded after that Parker curve towards I-25. Surface street accidents, Colfax and Calumet. There's one on the ramp from westbound I-70 to 270. That's a single-vehicle crash there, as well as 5th in Santa Fe. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a mild day temperature-wise again today with a high in the mid-40s. We'll get cloudy at times, currently 27 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Pearle Vision, where they do things differently to make your eye care experience a whole lot better. Like being upfront about costs so there's no surprises at the register and taking time to help you understand your insurance coverage. Visit PearleVision.com to learn more. Pearle Vision, clearly different.
Good day, citizens. Stand by for vital financial information from LendingTree.
Urgent. Get a $200,000 fixed loan for just $1,074 a month at LendingTree.com. Terms and conditions apply.
The one thing I love about your show is you never throw me a softball.
David Sirota.
You're going to give me a hard question no matter what.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Wow! 707 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're still dealing with technical issues. For instance, the fact I can only hear this program out of one side of my headset here. So bear with us. Technical difficulties. But it is Friday. Thank God it's Friday. We're going to be drinking beer in the 9 a.m. hour. We usually drink some beer, and we may be cracking the beer open a little bit early today, maybe in the 8 a.m. hour. We do not have a brewer in studio, but we want to keep the tradition alive. We have a packed show for you, as always. Man, it has really been packed. And remember, I can't see Turk, so Turk, don't you agree it's been packed?
Yeah, it's been a crazy week, man.
It really
has. You're honestly only hearing one ear?
I only hear myself out of one ear. It's very strange.
How about me? You can hear me out of two ears?
Yeah. Who knows?
All right, we're going to fix this thing up for you. But, hey, this Friday feels like a Monday, but we do have some stuff sitting in the fridge. So
yeah, so we'll be all set. I'm guessing we're going to crack in the 8 a.m. hour. Now, check out what we got.
If we last that long, Dave.
If we last that long, right. Check out what we got going on today. At 8, we're going to be joined by Chris Sewellentrop, who is a New York Times writer and also a writer for Wired magazine, who had a terrific piece in Wired about how video games are changing how professional sports, and in particular professional football, is being played. And he makes the assertion and the argument that John Madden football, the video game John Madden football, has actually changed the way football is being played at the professional level. It's a pretty cool piece. We'll talk to him at 8. Obviously, the Super Bowl that's why we're doing it. That's why it's timely. At 8:30, we'll be joined by one of the authors. I believe it's one of the authors of a National Wildlife Federation report about how global climate change is affecting the ski industry and how it's affecting not just the ski industry, but Colorado's skiing in general and skiing all across the United States. So we'll talk about that with Auden Schendler of the Aspen Skiing Company. And then at 9, we'll check in with Christy Harvey for all the stories we missed last week. And at 9:20, or maybe a little bit before that, we have been told that we may get an interview in studio with one of my favorite comedians of all time, Kevin Nealon. So fingers crossed on that, Kevin Nealon, somewhere between 8:45 and 9:20 is what we were told. In this hour, we're going to go back to local issues, back to the tax issue, because our interview yesterday with Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper has caused quite a stir in the Colorado media in general. The Denver Post reporting that Republicans in the Colorado legislature are pushing a new plan to replace the Democrats' plan to get rid of some of these business tax breaks to deal with part of our deficit here. And in the Post story, there's a big write-up about how Hickenlooper refused to take a position on the Democratic plan. And we'll get into exactly what the Republican plan is. It's absolutely absurd. And it ties into my newspaper column today. But our interview yesterday has made quite a stir, and also making quite a stir from that interview was Hickenlooper's comments that the recession is in part psychological. And the Denver Post also reporting on that, also made the front of ColoradoPolls.com. And some people are raising questions about whether he sounded a little bit too much like Phil Graham. Remember Phil Graham, John McCain's economic advisor, who said, this is a mental recession. And, of course, Graham went on to say, this is a nation, you know, we're a nation of whiners. But I want to throw it out there to you. I want to play Hickenlooper's comment again and throw it out to you and see what you think about this. And I remember I said to him, you kind of sound like Phil Graham. And he said, no, I don't mean to sound like Phil Graham. But the question is John Hickenlooper right? Or is he tone deaf? Right? Is it tone deaf to say that the recession is, a big part of the recession is psychological? It's just in our heads. Listen to the interchange that he and I had yesterday.
And this is a hard thing for a lot of people to get, but it's a recession like this really is driven by people's mental state, right? When people become fearful, and, you know, I think both parties have a segment of a portion of their party that is about fear and fearfulness, and a portion that's about opportunity. And that what we have to do is get people away from the fear and towards opportunity. We have no less capacity today to make concrete or steel or to create jobs and have businesses grow than we did 3 years ago. What we lost was the belief in ourselves and our confidence that you know, that we could have a system that works. Suddenly the banks are going out of business. Every newspaper, every TV station is saying, every radio station, every talk show host are saying, you know, the sky's falling, the sky's falling. Suddenly, you know, sales tax, you know, unemployment went up 4%, sales tax dropped 20%, right? People stopped improving their homes, stopped, you know, adding on, you know, fixing a bathroom, adding on to a porch, far out of proportion to the actual job losses. I think that's the crucial issue here is how do we, I think this campaign will come back down to how do we work our way out of this? How do we create a context where people believe in
but
themselves?
You're, and I go on to ask him about the Phil Graham comments, and here's what, I'll give you a little clip of what he said, only in a mental recession. And he was ended up being fired about that. I mean, I don't hear you.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that people's attitudes are connected to the economy. Now, it's not just a mental recession, right? That obviously people lost jobs. People can't make their car payments, you know, getting evicted. We see divorce rates rising, domestic violence. I mean, there's nothing just mental about this. But the country's attitude is very relevant to whether we're going to get, and when we do come out of this, we are seeing signs that we're coming out of the recession right now. As we come out of that recession, do we come out kind of laggardly and kind of just a slow bump, which is what people are saying now. I think Colorado is poised through a lot through the work we've done that we should come out of this much more strongly. And
so that was the interview that we did with John Hickenlooper yesterday. And there's a controversy now. I mean, you heard him say at the beginning of that, you heard him say that a lot of the recession is psychological. And what really struck me about this, and that's why I asked him, I said, you kind of sound like Phil Graham, the John McCain's advisor who got fired over saying, making similar comments. And what really struck me about it was when he said, we have the same capacity to do what we have been doing and what we can do today that we had 3 years ago. Now, call me crazy, but I disagree with that. I disagree. I think that when you look at the financial collapse and the capital destruction, how much capital we have destroyed in the financial collapse, when you look at our trade policy, how many jobs have been outsourced, really, jobs that are not coming back, when you look at how we have not been investing in infrastructure, and as President Obama said, we've been falling behind other countries, I don't necessarily think that we have the same capacity to do what we've been doing today. That's not to say we can't rebuild it. But my point here is this. If everybody's attitude suddenly changed, if I snap my finger, if I snapped the AM760 finger like that, you know, and everybody suddenly felt better and everybody had the right psychology, I don't think the recession would be over. I don't think a big chunk of the recession would be over. Now, he's absolutely right that there are signs we may be coming out of this recession quite slowly. The new job report today shows the unemployment rate is down to, I believe it's 9.7% from double digits. People are asking whether that's really good news or not, whether that means that a lot of people have stopped looking for work. But the question here is whether Hickenlooper is right or whether he's wrong and whether he's tone deaf. Right, because that's what's in the newspapers today. That was what's on, what was on Fox 31 last night in their report on our interview here on AM 760, which is whether it is politically tone deaf to tell people that the big problem is our own attitudes. And you have to understand the context of what he was saying, because it is really interesting. It ties together with the big story in the Denver Post today about the Republican plan in the legislature and the Democrats and Republicans fighting over taxes. I asked Hickenlooper specifically about the budget deficit, right? I said, how are you going to deal with a $1.3 billion state budget deficit but not raise taxes? And he pivoted to say, look, this recession, our economic problems, a lot of them are attitudinal. So in other words, he offered up the psychology argument as a way, in part, to avoid taking a position on the very real legislative fights going on right now. And he said, look, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to mess up the Democrats in the legislature, and I don't want to get in Governor Ritter's business. And of course, the Denver Post editorial editor, Chuck Plunkett, on the Denver Post website said, you know, Hickenlooper owes it to voters to tell us where he'd stand on these key issues. But what was fascinating about this was he pivoted to an argument about psychology, about us needing to be boosted emotionally as a way to not take a concrete position legislatively. And so I throw it out to you, 303-713-7600, 303-713-7600, we got open phones. Is John Hickenlooper right that a major factor in the recession is our psychology, that it's partly our attitude, that it's partly, and he didn't say the recession was in our head, but that this is, in some ways, a mental recession. Is that right? Is that wrong? Is he politically tone-deaf to say that right now? 303-713-7600. You can instant message us, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Also, we're taking your nominations. We'll start taking them for Schmuck of the Week. I will tell you mine in the 9 a.m. hour. But we'll take your nominations as well for Schmuck of the Week. 303-713-7600 again. Go over to the am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. We get your instant messages right here. Up next, I will fill you in on the details of the crazy Republican plan in the legislature It ties into my newspaper column out today. And my newspaper column out today is about the crazy situation down in the Springs. Stick around after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thanks, David. Good morning. Traffic is starting to get busy for us, but Friday's usually a little lighter than the rest of the week. Seeing some jams on 25 northbounders, Lincoln to 6th Avenue, southbounders, I-70 past Spear. Also heavy coming southbound out of Northland and Thornton starting at 104th. Auto versus bike accident, Colfax near Kalamath. Also one on the ramp from westbound I-70 at 270. Other crashes, 5th and Santa Fe, and one at Sheridan at 6th Avenue. Forecast. Sunny, breezy, mild, a high of 48 degrees. Weekend forecast, tomorrow partly cloudy and windy, highs in the mid to upper 40s. And on Sunday, cold with a 30% chance of snow and a high of 36. Currently 33 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
There is never a good time for your sewer line to plug up. Declare war on that blockage. Drain Solvers provides top quality drain cleaning and router services and will break through any blockage. Let Drain Solvers camera your sewer pipe for only $79 and clean your drain for $99. Mention this special when you call. Drain Solvers, the trenchless pipe repair specialists. Drain Solvers does whatever it takes to solve your plumbing problem. Call 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000. Or drainsolvers.com. Access fees may apply.
If you're doing any home improvements, you'd be crazy not to check out Buy and Build. I found this place after hearing about them on the radio, and everything they say is true. They have incredible deals, way cheaper than anywhere else I've ever looked. Cabinets, flooring, countertops, sinks, faucets, and toilets. My wife and I have fallen in love with Buy and Build. You will too. You'll get great deals and a vast selection. 4800 Washington Street, 303-295-6022, or buyandbuild.net.
Stash was discovered in Europe. Gleaming U.S. gold coins minted between 1866 and 1933, all uncirculated. It says the New York Mint is releasing them to the public on a first-come, first-served basis when you call, here it is, 1-800-600-9425. Wouldn't that be amazing to hold U.S. history? Okay, if you want that free historical information and the free collector's DVD, the number to call is 1-800-600-9425. 1-800-600-9425.
We are having a couple technical difficulties here. I'll tell you something. Moving over to a new studio really can screw things up. It can really make this quote so relevant.
Now, this is the place I was telling you about. It's real f***ed up.
Yeah, it's like how they introduced us to our new studio. We're talking about the state of the tax debate here in Colorado. Our interview with John Hickenlooper, which you can, of course, find on our website, am760.net, made some pretty big local news yesterday. The Republicans attacking Hickenlooper for refusing to take a position on whether to get rid of those special tax subsidies and exemptions for special corporate interests as part of, and I stress part of, a very small part of, Governor Ritter and the Democrats in the legislature's efforts to close the $1.3 billion budget gap. Republicans yesterday announced their plan to deal with the budget deficit, and I put deal in quotes. First, State Senate Minority Leader Josh Penry came out and said that Democrats, by getting rid of special tax exemptions, remember, these are special targeted tax exemptions, subsidies. You and me, the taxpayer, having to subsidize special interests, like the junk mail industry, as an example. One of the exemptions would get rid of a special tax exemption. And by the way, it wouldn't even get rid of them. Just temporarily suspend a special tax exemption for the bulk mail industry. Josh Penry, at a press conference yesterday, the Republican minority leader in the Senate, says that the Democrats, by doing this, are declaring war on business, declaring war on business, and they unveiled, the Republicans did, their call for an across-the-board cut at an afternoon news conference. First, their proposal centered on a big cut in pay for state workers. Now, this goes back to the Colorado Springs issue that we discussed earlier in the week, and that is the subject of my nationally syndicated newspaper column in the Fort Collins, Coloradan today. It'll be in the Denver Post tomorrow. It runs nationally all over the country, which is this. Earlier this week, the Denver Post reported on the economic apocalypse that is Colorado Springs, right? Colorado Springs shutting off the lights, literally shutting off the street lights, huge cuts to police, huge cuts to social services at a time when there are tent cities down there now of homeless people. And in that story that the Denver Post originally reported, and it's referenced in my column today, the CEO of the Broadmoor says the real way to deal with Colorado Springs' problem, I kid you not, is to lower municipal employees' average pay to the $24,000 a year that the Broadmoor pays its employees. $24,000 a year, by the way, is very, very close to, within, I think, $1,000 or $2,000 of the official Colorado poverty line. So, yes, you have the fat cat CEO of a luxury hotel saying the way to solve Colorado Springs' problem is to drive down public salaries to the poverty line. And this is the thesis in the Republican plan statewide. They're asserting that the way to deal with the massive Colorado budget deficit now is to simply force down wages of state and public employees. Now, beyond the argument about how you can actually attract good people to work in state government, which, of course, the Republicans don't want it. They don't want that. If the government is underfunded, if the government is not doing its job, it sows the idea in the public's mind that government can't do anything good. Right? So it fits their ideology. They want to destroy government, and they want to set the terms up so that government cannot succeed. But even setting that aside, is just the crazy economics behind it. If you want to boost or maintain consumer demand in this state, you don't start cutting wages, right? You don't start slashing people's paychecks, the paychecks that you need them to be spending to spur demand. And it's the same critique I would have for the rest of their plan. They also unveiled, along with this payroll cut idea, they also unveiled this idea that the governor should cut a 4.3% across the board cut in every department in the state. Now, what's so stupid about that? It's one thing to call for, I want to cut this program or I want to cut that program. Instead of having a debate over what programs, what specific programs they want to cut, they just want to take a huge axe to the whole budget as opposed to a scalpel. Because they don't want to really have a debate about specific programs, because they know when you get down to the programmatic level, the public will say, hey, wait a minute. I don't think we want to cut roads. I don't think we want to cut schools. I don't think we want to cut specific programs. This is an old Republican trick, right? Everybody says, oh, yeah, great. Let's across the board cut. Sure, that sounds great. Oh, wait a minute. You mean that means less teachers in my kid's school? Oh, wait a minute. You mean that the pothole now won't get filled? You mean trash collection, et cetera, et cetera. They don't want to have a debate over the specifics. And again, the problem with this is, at an economics level, right, is that if you're in a recession, the one thing the government can really do is spend countercyclically. We want the government to at least maintain spending, if not increase spending right now, to prime the pump. It's the one institution in our society that can do that. So the Republicans, they're clearly off the deep end. Let's get back to the Hickenlooper idea, Hickenlooper issue, how it ties into that. Scott McGinnis, the Republican candidate for governor, is demanding that Hickenlooper sign a pledge to oppose Democrats' efforts to get rid of these special corporate tax exemptions. Hickenlooper now taking heat from our interview for refusing to take a position on those. And I think that's fair. I think that's fair criticism. I'm sorry, I don't side with the Republicans, of course, in their idea of, you know, Scott McGinnis wants to take a pledge to say, you know, and of course McGinnis hasn't offered up any alternative. So I'm not siding with them on the policy, but I think they're right. We need to know where John Hickenlooper is. And then he's also drawing heat, and I'm open. We're going to go to the phones in a sec. 303-713-7600. We got a couple open lines. And he's also drawing heat, John Hickenlooper is, for suggesting that a big part of the recession is mental, is psychological, is our attitude. And he said, you know, there's no reason why we can't be producing what we were producing 3 years ago today. Now, I disagree with that analysis. But what's most interesting is that Hickenlooper was saying, at some level, in our interview yesterday, and we'll play the clip in a little while, it's on our website, am760.net, in the podcast. But what's interesting about this is exactly what Phil Graham, John McCain's economic advisor, was fired over. It was a big scandal when he said something similar. Now, in fairness, Hickenlooper corrected himself, said, no, I realize that the recession is real. But what's really, I think, controversial is for him to suggest that a big part of this recession is just our attitude towards the economy. What do you think? 303-713-7600 is the number. 303-713-7600. We'll go to Kathleen in Littleton. Kathleen, you're on AM 760. Hello, Kathleen.
Hi. I agree with you. I think that Hickenlooper is blaming the victims for this economy. For years, our salaries have been going down, so we've been able to consume less, which, of course, if we're not consumers, takes us into a recession and then finally into what we've ended up with. But what they don't understand, and this is part of Colorado Springs, is we can't live on nothing and drive the economy.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now again, I want to be fair to Hickenlooper here and say, he said, look, I know when people lose their jobs and they can't afford things. I mean, that is very, very real. He said that in our interview. But I agree with you. I mean, at just evaluating the situation, if you follow his logic, he seems to suggest that if all of us had a little better attitude, and by the way, he doesn't blame us for having a bad attitude right now. But even if you follow the logic of his argument, that if we all of a sudden had a better attitude, if we all of a sudden weren't as fearful that there was going to be another collapse, that things would be fixed. Now, things may be a little bit better, but look, the fundamentals of the economy are in crisis, right? No matter what I or you, Kathleen, or anybody else thinks about, you know, whether our attitude is a good attitude or a bad attitude, the fundamentals of the economy are in a crisis. We have had an outsourcing situation where much of our manufacturing capacity is gone, has gone to exploit slave labor in other countries because of a rigged trade policy. We've got a situation with the bank meltdown where they are still unregulated, where capital that needs to be invested in jobs is not being invested in jobs. It's being invested in a casino. And I mean, what I hear you saying is that at minimum, you think that Hickenlooper's analysis, forget about the policy, is just politically tone deaf.
Well, I'm not a fan of his, and I believe he's a Republican, not a Democrat, which is the problem with a lot of our Democrats here in Colorado Springs. But they don't get that for the past half a decade, our salaries have not kept up with the cost of living. And therefore, even though we're not out of jobs, we can't consume because we're in dire need.
That's exactly right. That's exactly that. When the paychecks don't keep up, there will be, at the end of the day, a reckoning. You're absolutely right, Kathleen. Thanks for the call. Dean in Colorado Springs. Hey, Dean, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, and you?
I'm doing well.
Traffic is gentle out here.
Good, very good.
I want you to be gentle on Colorado Springs, please. I live there. Please know that we are a failed city. We're failing fast, and we are a failed city. And if you want a model for what that looks like, just come and look at us. I asked the chairman of the board of a major food distribution plant last September, if he knew what a failed city looked like, and he literally jumped. And he said, I live in one. He's from Cincinnati, and that's where his headquarters is. And he said one day we woke up and there were riots in the street and buildings were burned and bricks through glass fronts. And my God, we wondered what happened.
But you know what the difference, Dean, is between Colorado Springs and Cincinnati and a place like Cincinnati. And I know Cincinnati a little bit because I've got some family there. The sad part about the difference is, is that you could argue, I don't fully argue this, but you could make the argument that Cincinnati has been a, I don't want to call it a natural economic disaster, but there have been global economic forces and I'll ask you about that in a second, but there have been global economic forces that have crushed a place like Ohio's manufacturing economy.
I'm talking about 20 years ago.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about
20 years ago.
But in Cincinnati?
Yes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And what I'm saying is that in Colorado Springs, there's a slight difference in the sense that at least in terms of what's happening right now, a lot of what's happening right now in Colorado Springs is self-inflicted by the local and frankly the state political system that has been so virulently conservative and anti-tax.
I agree with that, but you see, neglect is a common factor between both Cincinnati and here, and the Springs.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. But I guess what I'm saying is, look, you can argue, and I do argue this, that if our trade policy had been better, a place like Cincinnati's manufacturing economy may not have died the tragic death that it has and it still does.
Well, certainly that's true in the last 10 years.
Absolutely, right.
Yeah.
But if you go to Colorado Springs, you look at it, you know, there's a sizable defense industry there that has been funded, obviously, very well by the federal budget. And a lot of the wounds we see now down in Colorado Springs, a lot of them where the city's shutting off its lights, where social services are being cut, where the police and firefighters are being cut. That's like that was a self-inflicted political decision.
And why is that? Why did the people say no to an intelligent tax increase?
Well,
where does that come from?
And that's
I think it comes from among other things a really negative attitude. The governor is right. There is psychological crap going, and I would add ethical as well. People don't. I pay less than $2 a day to live in my town in taxes.
Yeah, and
$2 a day for all the services I get, and I'm bitching about it. Forget that,
Dean.
The arrogance and the ignorance, the unethical posture of guys like Bruce and all that. We live with this crowd.
Yeah, I know, and that's a real tragedy because Colorado Springs has a huge amount of potential, really a huge amount of potential. And you are right to make the point that those self-inflicted wounds that you're discussing about the anti-tax zealotry, the hatred of government, the me-first, screw-everybody-else attitude of the Doug Bruces of the right wing in this state, which is so powerful in Colorado Springs, that is a psychological problem that we really do have to deal with. And I will say this. I will give John Hickenlooper credit. I gave him credit yesterday on the air. He has been one of the few politicians in this state, in the past at least, who has taken on taxes head on. Now, he's avoiding questions about taxes now because he's running for governor. But I'd like to see him get back to a more frank discussion of taxes because obviously we need to have it. Hey, Dean, thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it. 7:37 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up next, we'll fill you in on U.S. Senate candidate Andrew Romanoff. Finally, going after, in a pretty harsh terms, sitting U.S. Senator Michael Bennet. That after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Stop and go traffic, southbound I-225 Parker Road down to the Tech Center. Also going to be real sluggish northbound I-25 from Broadway to about 6th Avenue. Speeds in the teens there. Got a crash in the ramp from westbound I-70 as you're trying to access 270. That's really slowing folks down around Havana. Also cleaning up a crash at 5th and Santa Fe. If you're going into the high country this weekend for some skiing, wet, slushy, icy, and snowpack conditions on I-70 from about the Eisenhower Tunnel up to Vail. Forecast, mostly sunny, light winds, a high near 50. Right now, 33 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Pearle Vision, where they do things differently to make your eye care experience a whole lot better. Like being upfront about costs, so there's no surprises at the register. And taking time to help you understand your insurance coverage. Visit PearleVision.com to learn more. Pearle Vision, clearly different.
Peter Baruch, Senior Compliance Director for the Business Software Alliance.
One out of every five software programs is stolen in the U.S. Consider what would happen to the challenged auto industry if one out of every five cars was stolen. Report software piracy. It's the right thing to do.
Report software explore piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google and simply input BS.
Valentine's Day is coming fast. ProFlowers.com has an amazing deal just for online listeners. ProFlowers is offering Valentine's Day bouquets starting at just $19.99. Plus, get a free glass vase and our 100% freshness guarantee when you order today. That's a great deal. To ensure delivery by Valentine's Day, click on the ProFlowers ad showing now. Or visit ProFlowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and enter the password HOT19. That's ProFlowers.com. Radio microphone, password HOT19.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text 411-247.
Due to stress, aging, hormonal changes, even diet, if you're one of them, you can help regrow thinning hair with a revolutionary breakthrough called Keranique. And for a limited time, you can try it free. Just call 1-800-400-2523 in the next 10 minutes. Keranique is specifically formulated and pH balanced for women, and it's sulfate-free, which means it's safe for color-treated hair. Keranique's key ingredient is FDA approved and clinically proven to help regrow hair, improve texture and thickness, and stop premature hair loss, so you can finally have the fuller, healthier looking hair you couldn't have before. Have the hair you've always dreamed of. Try Keranique risk-free when you call in the next 10 minutes. If lines are busy, please try again. Get your free trial at 1-800-400-2523. 1-800-400-2523.
This winter's single-digit temperatures worked our furnaces hard, and our furnaces need a little tender, loving care. Hi, I'm Kent Whipple with Whipple Service Champions, Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We depend on our overworked and often neglected furnaces to keep us warm and safe, to operate efficiently without complaining, and with as little attention from us as possible. Our part is simple, and that is to get our furnaces tuned up once a year. This tune-up will last for 12 months, and if you call right now, I will do it for you for just $49. I can give you more than half off this time of year. You get Whippleized with our WOW tune-up. You'll say, wow, you are so thorough. Wow, you did a great job. And wow, you saved me so much money on my utility bill. Call 877-WHIPPLE. That's 877-WHIPPLE. WHIPPLE. Because when you call today, we come today.
Whipple, they come, eating troubles all gone.
And this is a hard thing for a lot of people to get, but it's a recession like this really is driven by people's mental state, right? When people become fearful, and you know, I think both parties have a segment of a portion of their party that is about fear and fearfulness, and a portion that's about opportunity, and that. What we have to do is get people away from the fear and towards opportunity. We have no less capacity today to make concrete or steel or to create jobs and have businesses grow than we did 3 years ago.
Okay, so that was John Hickenlooper yesterday.
The belief in ourselves.
That was John Hickenlooper yesterday, and that's what we've been discussing. That was him yesterday on our show here at AM 760. And the question is, because it made a lot of news yesterday, it's in the Denver Post today, the question is whether that's true, whether we are suffering from a mental recession. And Hickenlooper went on to say, no, you know, I'm not saying that it's imagined, because that was the controversy that surrounded former Texas Senator Phil Graham during the 2008 presidential campaign. You remember he said, we're suffering from a mental recession and we're a nation of whiners. But Hickenlooper's point is a controversial one. When he was asked specifically about what he would do to fix the economy, he refused to give a concrete answer. In fact, he refused to take a position on whether the state legislature should get rid of some of those special corporate tax exemptions, instead saying, look, the real problem is that a lot of people's, you know, the public's attitude is bad right now. Do you think that's tone deaf, or do you think he's right? 303-713-7600. I say it's controversial because, look, I don't think he's necessarily completely wrong, but I will say that I think even if everybody's attitude right now, all of a sudden, was a good attitude, I don't think that the recession would be over. I think the fundamentals of the economy are damaged. I don't necessarily agree with him that we can do the same things that we can do 3 years ago that we can do today. I don't necessarily agree with that because I think we have been structurally damaged. It's not to say we can't rebuild, but I think the problems go deeper than mental. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Let me just fill you in real quick before we get to the back to the phones. Andrew Romanoff making some news yesterday at ColoradoPolls.com. He's been criticized, the former House Speaker. He's, of course, running for the U.S. Senate as a Democrat in the primary here in 2010. He's been criticized for not really drawing a contrast between himself and incumbent Senator Michael Bennett. And yesterday was the first time he kind of drew a contrast, saying, and this is reported on ColoradoPolls.com, quote, if I were in the U.S. Senate today, I'd fight to take the pork out, put the public option back in, and remove the health insurance industry's antitrust exemption. Congress should put an end to its backroom deals and pay-to-play politics and put the health of Americans first. Now, in fairness, Michael Bennett has said some of the same things, but it looks like Romanoff is ramping up the volume of his campaign. So it's about to get real interesting right now. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Catherine in Denver. Catherine, you're on AM 760.
Hello. Good morning.
There. How you doing?
Hi. I was in Colorado Springs a couple weeks ago, interestingly enough, and I was at the Dream City Initiative. And they brought a speaker named Peter Block in who had written a book on flawless consulting and stewardship and community. And I think it ties into Hickenlooper's comments because I've seen Peter Block a number of times around the country, and I've been in some of the legislative sessions here in the Capitol. And one thing is missing is imagination and creativity. And when you look at the cup and the attitude is half full, you ignite that creativity that solves problems. So I agree with Hickenlooper. I think when you focus on fear, you just create more fearful situations, and you reinforce that, and it's like you focus on, oh, I don't have a job. And I know those are real things. I have friends that are on the verge of losing businesses. I've gone through my own challenges, but I don't find the solutions in my fear. I find my solutions in my creativity to figure out a different way.
Now, Catherine, what you're stating is, and I say this respectfully, I'm not dissing you, but what you're kind of offering up a platitude, right? I mean, it's easy to say we don't want fear, we want hope, right? We heard a lot of that in the 2008 campaign. And I'll let you respond to what I'm going to say.
Okay.
But here's my point is this. Quite often, the choices that we have to make as a society, there are going to be winners and losers, right? Or they're a binary choice. I'll put it that way, right? You either, to deal with the deficit, somebody's going to have to pay more in taxes, right? It's just there's no way around that. It's just going to happen. Or we're going to cut spending so much. And my point is that somebody is going to have to deal with some sacrifice. Can we agree on that? To deal with a $1.3 billion budget deficit?
You know, let me throw in a point. A suggestion I made to state legislatures is we have facilities that are largely unused in our community. And we have people that are largely unserved or underserved. If we opened up some of our facilities and we opened that up for student housing, where we gave people free student housing, because students have to pay a lot of money for education these days, and in exchange for that housing, they offer up some services to some of the people that need additional services. At a community level, we can solve some of these problems.
Okay, Catherine, I'm not denying that. But if you're coming into the AM 760 Progressive Dojo and looking at a $1.3 billion state deficit just this year, and arguing that we can solve that deficit through efficiency measures, let's call them that, which I support, then I think respectfully that you're not being honest with yourself and you're not being honest with what's going on. I'm not saying you're necessarily saying that, but
why would you say that to me? Because, you know, you don't know what I've gone through. You don't know that I've actually done these things.
Well, I understand that, but if you're saying that we can fix a $1.3 billion one-year deficit through efficiencies at the state government level.
You're listening to a part of what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm trying to get back to my original point, which is this.
Hold on.
No, but that. See, this is what I said to Hickenlooper, and what I think the fundamental problem of the kumbaya, let's all hold hands attitude really is, which is this. Everybody, there are going to have to be sacrifices. They're, ultimately, to solve a budget deficit, and if you don't let me talk, I'm gonna cut you off. Okay, let me get my point out. Okay? There are going to have to be sacrifices. People are going to have to sacrifice. The question is, who is going to have to sacrifice? We have seen a very, very modest bill at the legislature, pushed courageously, by the way, by the Democrats in the legislature and by Governor Ritter, to simply get rid of, temporarily, some of the most egregious tax exemptions, corporate special interest tax exemptions for junk mail, as an example. Okay, and we have seen, and my point here is, we have seen the opposition say absolutely no way. We have seen the Republicans say this is Democrats declaring war on business. We've seen the business community say absolutely not. We completely oppose this. And my point here is that you, I don't care how much hand-holding you do. I don't care how much you say, hey, we got to be positive. Hey, we got to get along. Hey, we got to work together. There are forces out there that will not and do not want to work together. And no matter how much sweet talking there is, they're not going to come over to your side. The Republicans in the Senate have proved that. In the U.S. Senate, the Republicans in this legislature are proving that. And my point here is that Hickenlooper refused to answer a question about which side is he on that tax question, and deferred that question by saying, hey, we just got to be more positive. And if I have to be one of the people sounding the wake-up call, but it should be a wake-up call that we all understand after the first year of Obama, it's this. You have to choose which side you're on. It's not just a matter of attitude. It's not just a matter of, hey, we can all work together. Because the forces of darkness out there don't want to work together. It's in their political interest not to work together. And until we have political leadership in this state, which finally we have, at least in this legislative session, at least on the issue of taxes, but until we have more political leadership that says, I understand that this thing is going to be a fight, and I'm going to have to go to the wall, and there are going to be opposition to me that does not want to work together with me, if my only goal is to quote-unquote work together with people, that opposition will make sure nothing happens. Catherine, thanks for the call. 751 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Still looking decent out there for us, a lot lighter than the rest of the week. It is slow going. Westbound I-70, Kipling to Highway 58. That's a little bit unusual, but a lot of traffic in Wheat Ridge right now. Also, southbound I-25, a struggle. I-70 past Spear. Northbounders, Washington Street to 6th Ave. Also heavy getting out of Aurora. Speeds in the teens from Parker Road to I-25 as you travel southbound on 2 1/4. Got a fender bender at Sheridan and Jewell. Also a crash in the ramp from westbound I-70 to 270. Forecast today, sunny, breezy, mild, high of 48. Weekend forecast tomorrow, partly cloudy and windy, highs in the mid to upper 40s. And on Sunday, cold with a 30% chance for snow and a high around 36. Currently, 35 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Pearle Vision, where they do things differently to make your eye care experience a whole lot better. Like being upfront about costs, so there's no surprises at the register. And taking time to help you understand your insurance coverage. Visit PearleVision.com to learn more. Pearle Vision, clearly different.
Hey, it's Dave Sirota. You've got to visit the Yak and Yeti restaurant and brew pub. It's absolutely the best place in town to get incredible Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations, in Arvada on Ralston Road and Old Wadsworth, and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill, theyakandyeti.com.
Now at the Home Depot, get any carpet installed for just $97. All brands, all styles, all through your home, just $97. And with our low prices on carpet, you can get your whole project done for the lowest total cost. So you can stop putting it off and let us start putting it in. With basic whole house carpet installation for just $97. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, license numbers, and price match policy.
report came out and the market recovered a little bit, and now it's sort of giving back just a little bit, David, but not a lot. The Dow right now is down 30 points. The NASDAQ's just down 3. The S&P's down 2, 2.5, something like that. So a slightly negative tone right now, but it looks like it's trying to figure out what direction it really wants to go to finish up this week. But it has really gotten its teeth kicked in yesterday in particular. And I have to remind people, I've been talking about this, if you remain in the strategy that you were in the last time it went down, you rode it back up again, and now you're positioned to ride it down. Should the market go down, that is a bad, bad strategy, in my opinion. We have a program that went 66% to cash just a couple of weeks ago, and I think it's and then all the way to cash early in the day yesterday, one of our programs, and I think it's very important that you come in and hear about what we're doing and compare it to what you're doing. If it makes sense, great. If it doesn't, I understand, but at least you'll have an educated decision as to what you're going to do with your finances, David.
Give him a call, 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600 for the team of Presidential Brokerage. I couldn't agree with you more. Now is the time to get a strategy. If the market's movements over the last week don't tell you that, I don't know what would. 303-694-1600. Hey, Mike, have a great weekend, man.
You too, David. Thank you.
And now, two more facts you didn't know. Fact 1. October 10th is National Metric Day. Fact 2. When you have GEICO auto insurance, you could save even more by letting GEICO help you with your homeowner's or renter's insurance. Call GEICO or visit geico.com today to see how much our new multi-policy discount could save you. How are you going to celebrate Metric Day? I'm thinking about measuring stuff.
Right, let's get down to brass tacks. GEICO is the third largest car insurance company in the nation with a 97% customer satisfaction rating. We insure over 18 million drivers and we're dedicated to keeping every one of them happy. And geckos are hard workers. Okay, to be honest, I don't know any other geckos in the biz. Well, there's a lizard in accounting, but we just say hello in the hallway. I think his name's Steve.
GEICO. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, Mayor John Hickenlooper making news from our interview with him yesterday. It's in the Denver Post today. The controversy, first he doesn't take a position on the tax bill in the legislature, and then he says, this is a hard thing for people to get, but a recession like this is driven by people's mental state. What do you think about that? Controversial, or do you think he's right? 303-713-7600. Okay, everybody's got 30 seconds here. We got Evan, Betsy, Doug, and Dan. Here we go. 30 seconds for everybody. Dan in Broomfield. Dan, 30 seconds. Fire away.
Yeah, was it his mental state that made him furlough city employees?
Yeah, you know, we got an instant message about that as well. That's a very good point. That is a very, very good point that is exactly what has been going on right now. Hey, Dan, thanks for the call. Great point. Let's go to Doug in Westminster. Doug, 30 seconds.
My Sirota.
Hey, man.
Hey, I told a friend of mine from the Springs, he's a hardcore pub, I said, I'm going to vote Republican right down the line so I can watch that beautiful, gorgeous city crumble because you have no brains. And he wound up realizing that I was right.
Yeah, that's what's going on down there, man. It's really tragic, and I hope people check out my column. We'll link it at am760.net. You make a good point, Doug. They have the wounds in Colorado Springs have been totally, I shouldn't say totally, but there's a very big part of the wounds that have been self-inflicted. Hey, thanks for the call, man. Good talking to you, Doug. Evan and Parker. Evan, 30 seconds.
Hey, it's not fear that people are feeling. I'm going to vote Hickenlooper Schmuck of the Week for saying that. It's frustration. It's anger. These people in these positions are, you know, on average nationally making about $170,000 a year with health insurance. No fear of losing their jobs for years. That's what I got to say.
I agree. Okay, so Hick gets Schmuck of the Week, and I agree. So a lot of the politicians are really out to lunch right now. Betsy in Arvada. Betsy, I only got 20 seconds for you. Fire away.
Hey, David. I like what you were saying to Catherine earlier. I criticize the Democrats all the time because we don't recognize that Dick Cheney and his ilk are the devil, and unless we realize that and pull our resources together, I totally agree with you know, your characterization of
the thing. These choices are binary. There are going to, you can't just say we're all going to get together. It's going to require much more confrontation. Okay, up next, how video games are changing football.
Issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit MatrixDirect.com.
If you're like most families these days, you're struggling to save every dollar you can. Well, right now, we can show you how to save thousands of dollars on your term life insurance. And all it takes is one free 5-minute phone call. Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. So let's say you're 40 years old and married. We could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $14 a month, which could save you hundreds of dollars every year. Call us now for a free no-obligation quote. Call 1-800-700-2152. These days, every dollar counts. So let us show you how you could save up to 75%. It only takes 5 minutes, and the call is absolutely free. So please call now, 1-800-700-2152. That's 1-800-700-2152.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. The January employment report the government released 90 minutes ago could have been much worse, but it could have been better, too. Unemployment, which stood at 10% in December, fell to 9.7%. But businesses cut 20,000 payroll jobs. 8.4 million jobs have been lost since the recession began, and economist Nigel Gault doubts we'll get them back anytime soon.
It's going to take still many years to dig out of the hole that was created in the job market by the recession.
Live to CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill.
The new jobs numbers were happy news for Democrats like New York's Carolyn Maloney, who say government spending helped turn this economy around.
What a difference a year makes. Today's report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics provides further evidence that the labor market has stabilized.
Republicans skipped the hearing because of the snowstorm, but party chairman Michael Steele issued a statement focusing on how many people are still without work, condemning a proposed new jobs bill as more binge spending. Live on Capitol Hill, Bob Fuss, CBS News.
The jobs news hasn't had a major impact on Wall Street trading. The Dow Industrials are down, but only 36 points. Millions of cars and trucks recalled to fix sticky gas pedals. Reports of widespread trouble with Prius anti-lock brakes. Toyota's top man says he gets it. CBS's Jeff Gilbert in Detroit.
Saying Toyota has to earn back the trust of its customers, the company's president putting together a special task force with outside experts to improve quality control. He apologized and said Toyota is disappointed it couldn't live up to the expectations of its customers. He promised that safety issues will be taken care of and will not happen again.
The apology is too late for Linda Hardy. Her husband died the day after Christmas when his Avalon plowed through a barrier and hit a tree before coming to rest in a pond.
He just turned 56. He had a lot more life to live. And I miss him terribly.
Hardy says she repeatedly complained about sudden acceleration, but the dealer couldn't find anything wrong. Well, the big one is coming. As much as 2 feet of snow could be on the ground in the mid-Atlantic states by this time tomorrow.
I want to just stay snug as a bug in a rug at home, not have to deal with my car, just kind of dig it out in the spring.
It's been another bloody day in Iraq and Pakistan. An Iraqi suicide car bomb went off in a crowd of Shiite Muslims walking to the holy city of Karbala. At least 32 people died. It was the third deadly attack on Iraqi Shiites this week. Two bombs went off in Karachi, Pakistan, killing at least 22 people. One outside a hospital where victims of the initial attack were being treated. Reporter Amir Latif was on the scene.
We just fell on the ground because of the intensity of the blast, and after that everybody started running for the shelter and nobody was taking care of the injured, which were lying on the beds.
This is CBS News.
Now at the Home Depot, get any carpet installed for just $97. All brands, all styles, all through your home, just $97. And with our low prices on carpet, you can get your whole project done for the lowest total cost. So you can stop putting it off and let us start putting it in. With basic whole house carpet installation for just $97. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, license numbers, and price match policy.
So the other morning, I get an email from Moe's, my absolute favorite deli, whose pastrami I would actually kill for, which is probably why I gave him my email in the first place. Anyway, I'm like, wow, Moe's sending emails with coupons and photos? I want to bite my computer screen. Then it hits me. Eggs and pastrami hash for breakfast.
Email marketing from ConstantContact.com helps showcase your business, just like Mo. There's even free phone support with real-life people. Get a free 60-day trial at ConstantContact.com.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Police in Vail say three graffiti artists could face felony charges for causing about $10,000 worth of damage in a single day. Prosecutors say the three damaged property belonging to the city of Vail and Vail Resorts. An instrument designed and built by a lab at CU will be aboard a NASA satellite scheduled for launch next Tuesday. The Solar Dynamics Observatory is designed to help scientists predict solar storms that can cause communications and power grids to go haywire. Should be quite a party tonight in Steamboat Springs. The town is expecting as many as 5,000 people downtown. It's for a send-off celebration for 17 local athletes heading to the Winter Olympic Games in Vancouver. In sports, the Nashville Predators beat the Colorado Avalanche 5-3 last night. The Avs are off tonight, but the Nuggets have a big one. They play the Lakers in Los Angeles. Once again, they'll have to try to win without Carmelo Anthony. And two former Denver Broncos find out tomorrow if they'll be among the newest members of Pro Football's Hall of Fame. Shannon Sharp and Floyd Little are on this year's ballot. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Watch out for some delays as you're traveling west on I-70, pretty much starting right around Wadsworth, taking you towards Highway 58. Speeds are going to dip down into the teens through that stretch. Southbounders on 225, as usual. You're feeling it after that Parker curve up towards I-25. Again, you're going to find those speeds dropping down into the teens, maybe even hitting single digits in spots through there. Eastbound C-470, loading up after Santa Fe towards University. They've cleaned up that crash that occurred on the ramp from westbound I-70 as you were trying to access 270. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a partly cloudy day, but mild temperature-wise with a high of about 46 degrees. Currently, it's 27. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Answer the call. Front Range Travel Counts wants to know how you get around town. If you are called to participate, say yes, and you could win a bike. Front Range Travel Counts is calling your area to study traffic counts, and your information makes a difference. For info, visit nustats.com/frontrange.
Good day, citizens. Stand by for vital financial information from LendingTree.
Urgent. Get a $200,000 fixed loan for just $1,074 a month at LendingTree.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Sirota is not your garden variety liberal.
David Sirota.
He's bright, he's intelligent, he is very committed.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Six here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We've been talking about our controversial, I guess, or at least news-making interview with John Hickenlooper, Mayor John Hickenlooper, yesterday, making news in the state today. It's in the Denver Post. And we will get back to a discussion about that. But it is Super Bowl Sunday coming up, and I wanted to take a moment, because if you listen to this show, you know I'm a big fan of video games. And I read a fascinating article in this month's edition of Wired Magazine about how video games are changing so many different parts of our society, including the way professional sports are actually played. And so joining us now is the author of that piece, Chris Solentrop. He's a former story editor for the New York Times Magazine. He founded the Opinionator blog for the New York Times. His article is in Wired this month. We have it linked on our website, am760.net. You can follow Chris on Twitter at Solentrop. That's S-U-E-L-L-E-N-T-R-O-P. Chris, thanks for taking the time this morning. Now, I read your piece, and it was a very compelling argument. Tell the listening audience how you think and how athletes, the professional athletes themselves, believe that video games, and specifically you talk about John Madden football, how that is changing the way football is being played.
Well, the main thing it provides to an athlete, and especially a football player, is the ability to play more football than anyone has ever been able to play before. Football is a sport where you don't play a ton of games. It's not baseball or basketball. You know, you're playing in college, a dozen games a year, in high school, less than that, and the pros, not much more than that. And so it allows you to put yourself in game situations and just learn about the sport. And then at a young age, what it does is it's just incredibly democratized the knowledge, what was once specialized knowledge about formations, pass plays, defenses. The way John Madden put it to me once was he said, you know, once upon a time, if you were a running back, you knew about what running backs did. If you were a defensive player, you knew what defense did, and if you, you know, et cetera. And he said, but with this game, and this is something Raheem Morris, the coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, also said, you know, you can learn offense, defense, special teams, salary cap, everything that goes in to playing and running, playing a football team and running a football franchise. There's never been anything like that before, and now it's been around for 20 years.
That's right. And I tell you something, and I don't mean this to be critical because your piece is just fascinating, but the I remember that the first time I had seen a video game that allowed you really into the inner workings of just playmaking in football, right? Running plays was a program on, I think I had it on the old Apple IIe called Playmaker Football, where you could actually design your own plays, you know, with the X's and O's, and, you know, this guy could run a button hook pattern, and you go over all the iterations of Madden. And so you're absolutely right. This has been around now for 15, now 20 years. And I wonder when somebody's watching, let's say somebody's watching the Super Bowl this coming weekend, what differences are typical that you can see between the old game of football that hasn't been impacted by video games and today's version of football?
Yeah, and it's a good question of whether Drew Brees and Peyton Manning are both probably just beyond the generation gap of players who really grew up playing these things. I'm sure they have played them and are familiar with them, but they're probably just at the edge, or they're at least at an edge, an age where it's debatable of how into them they are. Whereas if they were, if it was Ben Roethlisberger, I would just assume as a matter of course, you know, like because of his age, that he is a dedicated video gamer. But still, I would say that, you can see the proliferation in both the of passing. There's a lot more passing now because quarterbacks grow up playing in high school and college passing. There's a lot more emphasis on quick reads, on quarterbacks walking up and examining defense and then making a play and calling it in response to that defense. And I think there's a lot more of what goes on in youth football, and that's the rise of the spread offense, which neither of these teams really run, but still that rely on those kinds of decisions. But it's also just about players being aware of certain, you know, game situations. I mean, the Brandon Stokley play from the beginning of this season where he cut right across the field for the Denver Broncos to drain 6 seconds off the clock before he entered the end zone, I think was the most startling evidence of a video game play that I'd ever seen.
It was almost like there was like a video game, like he as he was running, there was like a, I'm not sure, you can't get inside of his head, but you could imagine him thinking about it almost in John Madden football terms.
Yes, and I would say that, I mean, he, when I talked to him about it, didn't quite put it that way. He said, look, I've done that hundreds of times in a video game, and maybe subconsciously that's why I did it. But to which I would counter, well, that's what practice is supposed to do for you. It's supposed to subconsciously make you do the right things at the right moment. You don't sit there and think, well, gosh, I should use my left here because I've been practicing, you know, to move the ball into my left hand when I'm on this sideline. You know, I mean, it's just, it is subconscious. What you said is the way they think about it, and I do think video games are becoming the primary metaphor through which football players understand their sport.
Now, let's go to a bigger issue here, because this is not just about football. And again, we're on the line with Chris Solentrop,
He wrote a piece in Wired magazine and this month's Wired about how video games are changing sports. You can find it linked on our website, am760.net. And you note in your piece that this isn't just about sports. I mean, this is also why, for instance, the military uses video games not only as a recruitment tool, but as a training tool. I mean, there's a big military training facility, I believe it's in or near Philadelphia, that is all about using video game technology to train people. I guess what I would ask of you, knowing that, is are we going to see more applications of video games as a tool of learning, not just necessarily hand-eye coordination learning, but as you say in the football issue, you know, this is a good way that players have learned basic plays. Are we going to see, in your estimation, that video game idea being used as an educational technology?
I mean, I think absolutely. I mean, the question is, can you make it, I mean, the great sort of magic genius of Madden is that they created a learning tool that is commercially successful and fun to play, whether you know you're doing it or not. I mean, so for a long time, we've been trying to make, you remember Oregon Trail,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, other educational games from the
1980s. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? But there are, I think it's absolutely coming, whether it's to learn, you know, medical training, whether it's to learn, like you say, military, which has been the military has been into this for longer than anyone.
Right.
Back when these things were just little blips and beeps, they were interested in how these were changing our brains and how they could be used to train pilots and other.
Now that you got the drones, I mean the drone situation, especially even the way the military advertises the drone. I wrote a column on this a couple months ago. Even the way the military advertises recruitment advertising for drone pilots. I mean, it looks like the drone pilots are literally sitting at a video game console.
Yeah, I mean, I just think you see mainstream video game advertising nowadays in just. You know, when you're watching a TV show, they're advertising video games. I think people of a certain age don't realize how omnipresent this medium is. I call it the biggest generation gap since rock and roll. I think if you're under about 35, you're like, well, of course, regular, normal people who aren't just living in their parents' basements and doing drugs all the time are playing these, or just children. And if you're over a certain age, you just never encountered them, or you think of them as sort of childish things.
Yeah, although you know what's so weird about that, if I can just go off on a rant here for a second, what's so weird about that is that I play video games. I mean, I don't play a lot of video games. I play a lot of Halo. And what's weird about the generation gap is, look, Atari was a big thing, 30 years ago, right? I mean, so there are people who were, let's say, 18 years old in 1981, who would be, 48, approaching 50 now, who, you're right, there is this generation gap, even though, and this is what I'm getting at, even though there was a big explosion in video games back a long, long time ago. I mean, sure, the video games are different now, and they're much more graphically integrated, but what's surprising to me is that the generation that was playing, let's say, Atari, sort of grew up and kind of forgot about video games, and now, as you say, video games are just everywhere. What do you think that's all about?
Well, I think partly, honestly, it's about there was a crash that happened later before Nintendo came out, and the industry was just totally decimated.
Right.
And so people just stopped playing them, and they kind of. But there wasn't. I'm 35, and even if you're my age,
which I am,
there was a time when you kind of put them away, and you said, oh, that was something I did when I was a child. And then maybe when I was in college.
Well, now you're not speaking for me, because I never put Doom away.
In college, we looked at each other and said, we all want to be playing these things. Why aren't we playing them?
Yeah,
and
right.
We all set them up and start playing again. And I would say if you're just a little bit younger than me, you never did that. And it was totally reasonable for you to cart off your PlayStation 2 to college with you, and everyone was like, "Oh yeah."
That's such a good point. You're right. There really was that sort of pause there. Because I remember being a personal side. I remember being the weirdo who me and my roommate connected our computers. I'm 34. We connected our computers with one ether cable and would play Doom like late into the night. And you know, we were the big nerds there, and people were like, "Oh, you guys are such huge nerds." Now you're right. Now like. It's not weird for college kids, as you say, to bring their PS3 or their Xbox to school. Hey, we got a call that I want to take about this issue. Let's go to Andy in Denver. Andy, you're on with Chris Stollentrop.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right, man.
Good. Fellow video game nerd here, and I really like this subject because I'm always trying to convince people that, you know, video games actually have worth in society. And I guess some points I'd like to make. Microsoft Flight Simulator is an excellent tool. You know, I've been a shooter fan, you know, shoot zombies, Nazis, whatever, playing sports, but Microsoft Flight Simulator might be one of the most real-life video game tools I've ever seen. I'm pretty confident that if someone threw me in a plane, I might have a chance to land it after playing that game for so many years. And, I mean, you also have to look at things like culture. I mean, Japanese culture in video games for, you know, RPGs and stuff like that is really strong. You can learn a lot about other countries. I mean, it's all supplemental. You're not going to, you know, skip school and play video games and expect to learn everything. But, I mean, it's really neat how video games can teach you things.
Yeah, although, and let me ask, throw it to Chris with a question. And, Andy, thanks for your call. Do you think we're going to see a day when video games are actually part of an educational curricula? I mean, are we getting there? I mean, maybe it'll take a long time because of the generation gap that you talk about, but are we getting to a point where they may be integrated into our educational institutions?
Yes. I mean, we're already, I think there's a school in New York that's already working on that. And there's a professor at the University of Wisconsin named James Paul Gee, who's very interested in the connection between video games and learning, and there are people trying to set up curricula, because they are extremely powerful learning devices precisely because the play mechanics are so addictive, and that you have to learn a lot to become good at these things, and they have to you don't sit down and read them. You know, once upon a time, you read a manual and then went and played the game, and now you sit down and the game teaches itself to you, and in the process of teaching, of learning that, you can learn a whole bunch of things.
We got to run in a second, but let me ask you one final question. Again, we're on the line with Chris Stollentrop. His new article in Wired is about how video games are changing professional sports. My last question for you is this. Understanding the educational aspects of video games or the potential of them as an educational instrument, I'll ask a political question. Do you think the stigma around video games, whether it's the generation gap you talk about where it's, oh, those are just, you know, toys or playthings for kids, or the stigma that says, you know, video games are scary and dangerous, right? Do you think that stigma or any one of those stigmas is going to prevent video games from becoming more integrated into or more accepted by the kind of broader non-gamer society?
In the short run, yes. I mean, I'm always surprised by how much pushback, as someone who plays these things quite a bit, not all day, every day, but as someone who likes them and plays them, I'm always surprised when I run across people or in professional areas, I find out that people are like, well, why would you be interested in that? But in the long run, this problem is solved actuarially, right? As more people play,
right,
as people get older, and, you know, it's not unlike novels were once for foolish women, and films were once for, you know, children and others who are solely interested in spectacle. Now, it does also require the industry, I think, though they do make a lot of great games, to target a more sophisticated consumer than they're sometimes interested in doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, wait, we got one more call, and you know, and I want to go to it, and I know Turk's going to get pissed off at me because of our time clock, but games are often always thought about as just men playing, and we have a question from a woman on the line, Kate in Boulder. Hey, Kate, fire away.
Hey, Dave. Good morning. How are you?
Morning. Good.
I just wanted to ask your guest in his research if he came across any, I mean, you guys are talking about the generation gap, but it seems to me there's a huge gender gap in terms of video game, not just who's playing, but who they're marketed to, and which parent is buying them for which kids?
That's a great question. Chris, do you have it? Do you have any data on that or any at least educated guess?
Yeah, I mean, most of them, what I can tell you is anecdotal, which is that it's, you know, the marketing is obviously mostly for young men. But that's not all who's playing. I mean, it depends how you define playing. You know, certain kinds of console video games are largely young men. But all video games, including things people play, playing Mahjong in front of their computer, which isn't quite worth talking about. But if you include everything, women are like, I think, close to half of who play these things. And so if the right kinds of games were made, they would play more.
I completely agree. And I think a lot of it is you're right, is the way these things are counted. Because I got to tell you something, just as personal experience. My wife, Emily, if you count Bejeweled, the sort of Tetris-like game, if you count that as a video game, my wife plays more video games than me. Now, I know I'm going to be in trouble when I get home for saying that. Chris Swellentrop, his article is in Wired magazine. It's linked on our website. Chris, thank you so much for taking the time this morning, and we will check back in with you because I follow your work religiously. Take care, man.
Thank you.
All right. 824 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Traffic is looking pretty good for us for a Friday afternoon, or Friday morning, rather. Accident blocking the center lanes. Westbound I-70 at Kipling. Stop and go. Normal spots northbound and southbound I-25 going into downtown. Also sluggish westbound 36 from Flatiron Circle to McCaslin Boulevard. A few surface street accidents on the ramp to Bellevue from southbound I-25. Also one at DTC in Yosemite. And a two-car crash at 48th and Vasquez. Your forecast, mostly cloudy this afternoon. Light winds and a high near 50 degrees. Right now, 30 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
You switched your old synthetic oil for Castrol Edge. That's thinking with your dipstick. You like that Castrol Edge has 8 times better wear protection than Mobil 1. That's thinking with your dipstick. You enter a 15-round cage match against Smasher. That's not thinking with your dipstick. Think with your dipstick. Upgrade to Castrol Edge. It's more than just oil. It's liquid engineering. Learn more at yourdipstick.com.
5W30 is tested in industry standard sequence 4A wear test.
It's time to shake those winter blues with the Comcast Red Hot Sale. For a limited time, get Comcast Digital TV for as low as $19.99 per month for 1 year. Call 1-800-COMCAST now. Catch the hottest shows from network favorites like Project Runway on Lifetime, Axemen on History, Burn Notice on USA, and more. You can also stay on top of national news with CNN and Fox News Channel. You get all these and your local broadcast networks with crystal clear picture quality and sound, plus over 40 commercial-free music channels. Keep your TV kid-friendly with Comcast's easy-to-use on-screen program guide featuring parental controls. Your kids can watch great shows like Handy Manny on Disney Channel and Chowder on Cartoon Network. Call 1-800-COMCAST today and get Comcast Digital TV for a red-hot price, as low as $19.99 per month for 1 year. But hurry, sale ends February 14th. Call 1-800-COMCAST now.
Offer ends 2/14/2010. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. New residential customers only. Must subscribe to Digital Economy TV. After promo, regular rate applies. Equipment installation, taxes, and franchise fees extra.
With our state-of-the-art resin, a SafeLite Elite repair is so reliable, we guarantee it for life. And with most insurance plans, it's free.
Call SafeLite Elite Auto Glass at 303-287-5000.
SafeLite Repair, SafeLite Replace.
I don't want the big names. Tom Hartman. You've got to suck up to them. You can't ask the hard questions. There are politicians who are willing to come on my program and answer any question that I put to them, but there are very few. I'm not one of those guys who thinks that good talk radio is sucking up to politicians on the air. I think, in fact, it's the exact opposite. I'm very proud of the fact that we don't do suck-up interviews with politicians. Tom Hartman, weekdays at 1. Not going to do it. On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We are jumping all over the place, and I have a beer waiting to be opened. I haven't opened it yet. Turk and I We don't have a brewer in, but it is Friday. We're taking your nominations for Schmuck of the Week. John Hickenlooper has been nominated Schmuck of the Week already. You can send us your nominations, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Or when we're talking about our subjects of the day, when you call up, feel free to drop in a nomination along with what you're talking about. Our interview with John Hickenlooper making news across the state. It was in the Denver Post, reported on in the Denver Post today. And we will get back to a discussion about whether John Hickenlooper was right or wrong to call or to say that the recession is in part of our mental state, that it's kind of a mental recession. That is what, and he also, of course, refused to take a concrete position on the tax debate going on in the legislature. We're going to get to your calls on that. But first, we are joined by Auden Schendler of the Aspen Skiing Company, and we asked him to come on because he's the director of sustainability for the Aspen Skiing Company. We asked him to come on because there was a new report by the National Wildlife Federation on the effects of global warming and the ski industry. I know a lot of people are probably getting ready to go out and go skiing this weekend, especially with, I think there was some new snow up there. But the report was titled Oddball Winter Weather, Global Warming's Wake-Up Call for the Northern United States. And it talked a lot about how our ski industry and how skiing in general, whether you're in the industry or not, just the sport of skiing may be affected by global warming. So Auden Schendler is with us to discuss this. Auden, tell us what we should be most worried about in the short term. I mean, how is global climate change impacting skiing right now?
Well, I think in the short term, you don't have that much to worry about. The focus of the report was on the idea that the effects of climate change are more weirdness. People call it global weirding more than, it's warmer today, it's 2 degrees warmer on average, and so forth. So the concern is that you'd see big weather events, big storms, big floods. This report was written and published, and most recently there were insane floods in Phoenix that came from a storm in California that was the lowest pressure system they'd seen in something like 100 years. So there's the weirdness. In the ski industry, we already are seeing warmer nights, which affects snowmaking. We're seeing in Aspen and other ski areas an increase in frost-free days, and it's a very clear trend. So the industry's saying, well, how do we sustain ourselves as this trend progresses? And that's a tough question for the business.
Your report, this report that came out, it states that the extent of snow cover across the northern hemisphere has decreased by approximately 3 to 9% since 1978, with especially rapid declines in the western United States. So this is just so that we're talking about the same terms, just so everybody knows what we're talking about here. We're not just talking about the northern United States in general, but this is actually, at least according to the National Wildlife Federation report, this is a specific and acute problem for a place like Colorado. Is that right?
Yeah, and actually it's interesting. If you look at weather or climate in the last 50 years in the United States, Colorado's seeing a disproportionate amount of warming. And there are a variety of complicated reasons why that might be the case. But so the alpine regions seem to be warming more rapidly. So, yeah, it's a challenge to a lot of things in Colorado, from outdoor recreation industry like fishing and river rafting that is all climate dependent.
Go ahead.
This doesn't mean skiing's going away.
It means
we have a long-term challenge that we should start addressing.
Well,
now.
I was just going to ask that question of timetable. And again, on the line with us is Auden Schendler of the Aspen Skiing Company. He's their director of sustainability. There's this new report by the National Wildlife Federation about the effects of global climate change, specifically on the skiing industry. And give us a sense of timetable. I mean, I don't want to play doomsday. I don't want to say, I don't want to do too much. And I don't think it's fear-mongering because it's science-based, obviously. But I mean, are we talking like if we don't do anything, we're going to start seeing skiers, we're going to start seeing real effects in 5 years, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years? Give us some sense of timetable.
Well, first off, there are many ski resorts in Europe that are out of business because they've warmed too much, and
That's
those
right.
are lower elevation resorts. In Colorado, the science that we've looked at and that Park City has looked at says by 2070, 2100, you'll be out of business. By 2050, you'll see snow lines increase. Colorado's fortunate. We have high ski resorts, so maybe by 2050, 2070, you're skiing the upper part of the mountain. But a key point, I think, is that to think about skiing going away as the consequence of climate change is kind of narrow. There are enormous economic consequences and political consequences to climate change, and skiing is absolutely the last of our worries. By the time skiing goes away, you're going to have so many other problems if you don't deal with this issue.
Yeah.
That it's almost irrelevant.
Yeah, well, I think that, I mean, and to that point is definitely implied, and I probably should state it explicitly. But I do think, and I think your report makes clear, the example of skiing, it's something that people think about when they think about cold and snow and the weather. So I think it definitely is a very useful example, and this report is a really interesting report. We have it linked on our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. It's about climate change's impact potentially on the ski industry. Auden Schendler of the Aspen Skiing Company, he's the director of sustainability there. Auden, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Thanks for having me, David.
All right, great. Good talking to you. 8:34 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. Up next, I think we're going to crack open some beer. My dad is going to be joining us in studio. We'll be taking your calls on nominations for Schmuck of the Week. I will also be giving you an update on that bill to mandate maternity coverage in healthcare here in Colorado. Not such good news. Really, not such good news. Some better news, though. A new poll out about Coloradans' feelings on the public healthcare option. And we will take your calls about Mayor John Hickenlooper's controversial comments on this radio show that are now in the Denver Post about taxes and about whether the recession is a mental recession. What do you think about that? We got some open phone lines, 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Traffic is already shaping up for us a little bit around the city. Normal jams coming into downtown, north and southbound I-25, I-70 past Spear. Northbounders from about Washington Street to Alameda now. Stop and go. Westbound I-70, Wadsworth to Kipling. Got a crash northbound I-25 as you approach 6th Avenue. That one just popped up on the board, so that's going to make it even more difficult getting into downtown on the northbound approach. Two-car crash, ramp to Bellevue from southbound I-25. One at DTC in Yosemite, right here by the studio. Also, two-car crash at 48th and Vasquez. Your forecast, sunny, breezy, mild, high of 48. Weekend forecast, tomorrow, partly cloudy, windy, highs in the mid to upper 40s. And on Sunday, cold with a 30% chance for snow and a high of 36. Currently, 30 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Answer the call. Front Range Travel Counts wants to know how you get around town. If you are called to participate, say yes, and you could win a bike. Front Range Travel Counts is calling your area to study traffic counts, and your information makes a difference. For info, visit nustats.com/frontrange.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. First up at auction, we have here a very rare Ming vase from the Ming Dynasty. We will start the bidding at free. Do I hear free?
Free? I'll take it.
Sold to the young lady in the front row for $0.
Wait.
Free is better. Do your simple federal return for free at TurboTax.com. It's free to prepare, free to print, and free to e-file. No wonder TurboTax is the most trusted brand of tax software. Visit TurboTax.com today. Choose easy. Trusted brand claim based on survey July 2009.
Kevin Richards is sending his identity out to pay some bills.
Okay, get in there. Mailman is going to be here any minute. Whoa, whoa, wait, what, where am I going again? Time to pay the bills, all right? Just get in.
Right, okay. So you're going to flip up a little red flag, let everybody know I'm in here?
Well, yeah, that's what it's there for.
Hey, you know what? Why don't you put up a big sign that says, "Hey, identity thieves, he's in here, he's easy pickings. Just open the door and grab him. Come on, everybody, here he is."
Okay, don't be stupid.
All right, well, okay, that would have to be a pretty big sign, I get it, but you get my point.
Your identity is counting on you. Go to identityguard.com right now to get your free identity checkup. Identity Guard is from the company that has already protected over 30 million people. So visit IdentityGuard.com and find out what yours has been up to. That's IdentityGuard.com.
Oh, bro, it smells like mail order cheese and tin in here.
Would you be quiet?
Get your free identity checkup at IdentityGuard.com. Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again.
Have you heard about geothermal, the renewable energy that works even when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow? Not only is geothermal reliable, it can operate at 300 to 600% efficiency. Geothermal is the smartest and greenest way to heat and cool your home. That's why Major Geothermal and Can America Drilling teamed up to offer Denver the peace of mind that your geothermal project is done by some of the top professionals in the field. Climate Master Heat Pumps, one of the top heat pumps in the world, powers the geothermal system. Your geothermal project could also qualify for a 30% tax credit. The goal is to offer a personalized solution to your heating and air conditioning needs to help you maximize your efficiency and reduce your carbon footprint. Call Major Geothermal and Can America Drilling today. 303-424-1622. 303-424-1622. We're online at majorheating.com. Start living greener today.
Hey, this is Mario for the law firms of Mike Turner and Scott Henderson, proud supporters of AM 760. Turner and Henderson are personal injury trial lawyers who have supported Progressive Talk since the beginning. They've devoted their entire legal careers to handling personal injury claims. They represent real people, not big insurance companies or corporations, and they've been successful at all kinds of personal injury claims. Turner and Henderson, call for free consultation at 303-300-1600.
Because they knew if they stopped health care, that you and I would get pissed off, and that we would get pissed off at the Democrats, and that we would quit voting for the Democrats and the Republicans could take over. And so far, that plan is working. And so I just decided after my second drink that I wasn't going to be the tool for the Republican Party.
Mario Salisa-Marich, afternoons at 4.
I grew up saying I'd never work for the man, and I ain't going to work for the man.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
8:39 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're going to get your calls in a sec. I want to fill you in on just a couple of stories making local news. The bill about maternity care in Colorado. Two Denver Democrats reluctantly diluted the bill they co-sponsored aimed at expanding maternity coverage in Colorado. The move took attendees at the House hearing for the bill this week by surprise. Health insurance lobbyists shuffled their papers and gazed at one another. I'm reading here from the Colorado Independent. As Representative Jerry Frangis and Beth McCann explained that they would amend the bill to make it more friendly to the insurance industry in order to make sure it passed through committee and onto the floor of the House. The original bill would have required that all individual insurance plans in the state cover maternity care and contraception the way group plans do, but the amendment altered the bill to demand that all insurance companies offer at least one plan for individual policyholders that includes maternity care. Contraception is now not included in the present version of the bill. Incredible. Incredible. The health insurance plans, they cover Viagra, but they don't cover contraception. Just really, really, really sad. Some good news from the legislature. A bill that would have banned any state mandates on insurance companies. Seems like it has died now. So that's good news. And also, a new poll on the public option, on how Coloradans feel about the public option. This poll showing that it's a Research 2000 poll, was conducted here in state, and it shows wide support in the state for health reform and for the public option. Can't say that I'm surprised about that. That's a 58% in Colorado who favor the public option, and 36% oppose it. I'm not surprised, but I'm happy the numbers are out there. We're going to go to the phones, 303-713-7600. Mayor John Hickenlooper, yesterday in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo, refusing to take a position on the plan in the legislature to get rid of some special corporate tax exemptions. Also making a comment about the recession. When he was asked, what would you do to change the recession, he kind of refused to take a concrete policy position, and instead seem to suggest the recession is a mental recession. Listen in.
And this is a hard thing for a lot of people to get, but it's a recession like this really is driven by people's mental state, right? When people become fearful, and you know, I think both parties have a segment of a portion of their party that is about fear and fearfulness, and a portion that's about opportunity. And that what we have to do is get people away from the fear and towards opportunity. We have no less capacity today to make concrete or steel or to create jobs and have businesses grow than we did 3 years ago.
Now, I disagree with him on that last point that we have no less capacity, because I think the economy has been fundamentally injured, that we have outsourced a lot of jobs, outsourced a lot of capacity. We have not invested in capital-intensive infrastructure that would allow us to maintain that capacity. But what I want to get at is whether you think he's right, whether you think that the key problem with the economy is not structural, it's not policy, that it's our mental state. 303-713-7600. I mean, this was a kind of comment that got Phil Graham, the Republican, former Republican senator, fired from John McCain's campaign. Now, in fairness, Graham went on to say a lot worse things as well. He said, we're a nation of whiners. And Hickenlooper, specifically when asked about that, he went on to say, no, look, I realize that what people are going through is real. But I guess what kind of made me flinch when I heard this was, you know, if everybody's attitude was all of a sudden magically fixed, I still think we'd have huge problems in the economy. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Let me just read a couple instant messages here about this. We got this is from Janine. David, I hate to break it to you and a couple of your callers, but what Mayor Hickenlooper said about the economy being partly mental on some Americans' minds is factual. People do not want to spend money, even if they still have it, and have secure jobs. There are a lot of people out there with different experiences and attitudes. You and others only have your own experiences to generate your own opinion, but that doesn't mean that is the experience of others out there. Janine, I didn't think I said it was the experience of everybody. I don't paint in broad brushes. You seem to be painting in broad brushes, and I actually agree with you. I don't think that this is not 100% not mental. There's obviously a mental component to this recession. The question is whether it is the central problem. And that's what Hickenlooper had said. We're getting a couple more instant messages here. There's one ripping on us for talking about video games. That's the generation gap talking to us. Schmuck of the Week nomination. And we want your Schmuck of the Week nominations. Tom Tancredo for his comments at the Tea Party convention. When are we progressives having our convention? I don't know what Tom Tancredo said at the Tea Party convention. I'll have to dig that up. Let's go to the phones. 303-713-7600 again. 303-713-7600. We'll go to Dale and Thornton. Dale, you're on AM 760.
Hi.
Hey there.
Hi, this is Dale. Yeah, I have an example to give you. Maybe you can help me decide whether it's my psychology or just practical decision. I have an old house in Thornton, and I have some improvements I want to make. And last month, I had an offer from Home Depot, 12-month, 0%, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I considered using it to get the materials. I can do it myself, right? And I don't go into details, but it's a bunch of work to expand the kitchen. And I thought about it, and I was real close to deciding to do this, to pick up the materials and get started on this project, which I've been really wanting to do. But I lived in 12 months. I'm not sure, various factors. I decided not to risk it. Even though it's 12 months down the road and it might add up to $400, I already have a 0% thing for $300, that I did on another project. It's coming due in July. But I decided not to do it because in the work I do, I am getting no overtime.
Yeah, and you know, Dale, let me just add a personal story of my own. My wife Emily, she has been she was facing some unemployment, and now she's part-time employed, and we were deciding on whether to make some improvements to our own home, and for months we have been saying no, we're not going to make those improvements to our home because I don't know what's coming next, right?
Right.
I mean, if the economy can collapse. And granted, there was a real, you know, there was a recession going along on before the financial collapse. But if the economy can collapse that fast, there is a psychological effect moving forward. Now, is that simply a mental state, or is that, have we all of a sudden all realized what the reality of our economy is? That we have an economy that is in part built on a faulty structure that allows the economy that allows a recession to hit very, very quickly. I mean, you can call that psychology, you can call that whatever you want, but it's not simply an attitude, right? It's a judgment, right? It's not that I have a bad attitude or you have a bad attitude. You're saying, hey, look what just happened. Maybe my frame of reference, maybe I've been educated about what the economy is and is not.
Right. It's a risk. It's a gamble. You're gambling every day in decisions like these. And right now, what I'm looking at in my business, in my personal life, I don't see on the horizon improvement. I don't see, as far as I can see forward, I see it as a risk for me to make this little venture.
That's right, and that's why I think what Hickenlooper said is controversial, because he seems to be suggesting that if we had a better attitude, if we all had a better attitude, that things would pick up. I think that's controversial because I think it's not attitudinal. It's not that, oh, I'm more of an optimist. I think a lot of people are saying, hey, I've learned a lot about how fast this economy can go downhill, how much I am actually at risk, and it has made me scared. Now, some would say, well, being, you know, fearful is a bad thing. Well, is it fearful or is it rational? I think it's kind of rational. And I think until we get the kind of policies in place that actually fix the structure, that actually let us know that things have changed, that the thing that we are afraid of, a weak foundation on the economy, has changed, I don't think our fears are necessarily wrong. I think they're entirely rational. Hey, Dale, thanks for the call. Let's go to Mike in Louisville. Mike, you're on AM 760.
Hey, Dave, big fan of the show.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for taking the call. I'm a student down at the University of Colorado Denver, an adult full-time working student, actually, and also also working. And I'm concerned about Hickenlooper's statement because this week in the Denver Post, we had a report unemployment has been on the rise in Denver. And Grand Junction, here in Colorado, was the number one increase in unemployment in the state, in the country. I mean, beating out Vegas and other major cities. And so, you know, I think that the information on the ground is just suggesting that things are getting worse. And so, you know, I understand what he's getting at with attitudes, you know, holding us back and people being optimistic would drive a better economy. But, you know, while that's true in some ways, I think that we got a reality. You know, as a student, I see a lot of adults going back to school because they can't find work. And, you know, going with the best option for them, you know, the work just isn't out there. And then, you know, when we're in a time of reduction and more layoffs, you don't have companies that are going to go out there and, you know, as he said, you know, going to want the concrete and steel for construction. I mean, companies aren't going to be building when they're in the middle of layoffs.
That's right. And look, I think as a matter of policy, because a couple of instant messages have said, well, you know, what does this really mean for policy? What is Hickenlooper's attitude about where the recession is coming from? What does that mean when he becomes governor? And look, some of the criticism of John Hickenlooper has been that he's been more of a rhetorical booster of Denver as a city when he's been mayor than a guy who's changed the nuts and bolts of policy. And here's the thing, folks. I think we can all agree that the next governor, because of this huge budget deficit, the next governor needs to deal with the nuts and bolts of our government, our state government, and the nuts and bolts of our local and state economy. And so the policy implications of what Hickenlooper said is that people, some have said that this sort of confirms that he's a great booster, he's a great salesman, and he's good at optimism. You know, he to use the cynical Obama framing, he smokes the hopium, right? He's good at passing out the hopium, right? And he's not a guy who drinks the haterade, right? But that when it gets to the nuts and bolts of policy, there's a real deficit there, that there's a real problem, that he hasn't really articulated what he's all about. And so I think that's how this relates to the gubernatorial election. I think we need something that's more than a booster. Hey, thanks for the call. All right, in studio with us. All right, I'm so thrilled that you are here. Let me fire you up here. In studio with us, and I was so thrilled that we had the chance to get you in studio, is Kevin Nealon, who I am a huge, huge fan of.
Thank you.
I am a really, really big fan.
Thank you.
I have been a big fan for a really long time, and in particular, I have to say, I have been a big fan of yours, especially in Weeds.
Yeah, Weeds it's a fun show to do.
Has it been like a big sort of thing for you? Like,
yeah, it has been.
Do people like know now? They ask you to be Doug. And
yeah, hey, they get, hey Doug. Before it used to be hey Hans and Franz or hey Mr. Silverman. But yeah, I always wondered if there'd be another show after Saturday Night Live that people would know me from. You know, that was a good show that was, you know, popular. And Weeds came along out of nowhere. I auditioned for it. For a guest star in the pilot, and then the show got picked up, and they asked if I wanted to be a regular.
I mean, the show is so good, and I have to say, I know I'm going to diss all your friends who you act with, but like, if you're not in the scene, it's not as good a scene. Now, I know, I really would say that, I think, in front of them if I had the guts. And I should say, Kevin Nealon is in town here in Denver. He's going to be at the Comedy Works Landmark February 5th and 6th, tonight, 7:30 and 9:30, Saturday, 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. You can find information about his show at comedyworks.com. I always wanted to ask you this, because when I've seen you in interviews and stuff, I feel like people are always like, do Subliminal Man or do Doug. That's right. Yeah. Does it get really annoying?
Not really. I'm very lucky to have the job I have. And I used to work in a factory. You know, I used to make donuts. You know, so I know that I have a good job right now. And to be asked questions like that, I don't mind.
When you got
please
into
don't ask me.
No, I'm not going to ask you. I'm not going to ask you.
I'm kidding.
When you got into Saturday Night, how old were you when you first started on Saturday Night?
I was that was in '86. So I was 33.
And that's relatively senior to be starting on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, I mean, it varies.
Not to call you a senior?
No, that's all right. You know, Phil Hartman, I think, was 38, and that seemed very old to me. I thought, wow, that guy's like an old man at the time. But, yeah, it seems like it's more of a young man's game, young woman's game in your 20s.
Yeah, right. Like and I should ask you about your new gig. I mean, there's always talk on Saturday Night Live that the sort of the culture of Saturday Night Live, and I won't put you on the spot with this, but it's kind of like a crazy culture, almost like a crazy drug culture. Now you're on Weeds, which I support the message of the show as well, the politics of the show. The show is sort of making fun of our ridiculous drug laws.
Yeah.
Did you bring your own politics to that show? I mean, is that your politics, that our drug laws are really idiotic and stupid? And
well, I think there's room for improvement with our drug laws. In fact, somebody just told me that there's a lot of medical marijuana stores in Colorado now.
A lot.
Which, and in California, apparently there's more than Starbucks.
A real lot. And I should ask you about this. You know, getting back to Weeds, or folks who have watched you on Weeds, is it me or did your character turn kind of really dark in, like, I think it was because I'm still one season behind, so don't ruin anything.
Okay.
But in the last season before this one, you got really dark, and actually my wife, I'm going to embarrass her now, she loved your character.
Yeah.
Until you went dark, and now she finds Doug really gross.
Repulsive.
Yeah, like really, like she can't deal with you anymore.
Well, you have to look at all the characters on that show. I think they've all evolved into this dark void. You know, they're really scrambling to find out how they can get thrills in life and find happiness. And they're all very selfish, I think, and out of control right now.
And now you're touring around right now. Doing stand-up.
I've always done stand-up, David. It's one of the things I started out doing. And what's ironic is a lot of people don't know I do stand-up comedy, but I've done tons of, like, The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, Letterman's, you know, all that. I have a stand-up special out now called Now Hear Me Out. It's on DVD. It was airing on Showtime. I think it might still be on Showtime. It's my first one-hour special. And I have a book out called Yes, You're Pregnant, But What About Me?
Right, I know. I saw
So I've been staying really busy, and I love doing stand-up comedy.
Is it liberating that, and we got 30 seconds or I'm going to be in real trouble.
Uh-oh.
Is it liberating that on Weeds you can, like, drop the F-bomb and you can curse where you couldn't on Saturday Night Live?
I don't know if it's liberating. It's certainly a different way to go. I've never, you know, been around that many F-bombs and whatever else.
Well,
on
there's
the show
a lot
before
of them on that show.
There certainly is, and way beyond F-bombs, too.
Oh, yeah, way beyond F-bombs. Kevin Nealon, again, he's going to be at the Comedy Works tonight at 7:30, Saturday, and 9:30 tonight, Saturday, 7 and 9:30 p.m. Thank you so much for stopping by. It's really great to have you in the studio. All right, I'm going to be in trouble. We got to get out.
Lots of companies want to buy your gold. They just won't pay you what it's worth. At Fast Cash Gold Centers, you'll get 40% more for your gold in cash and on the spot. So don't get ripped off. Get what your gold's really worth at Fast Cash, 11 locations, or fastcashgoldcenters.com.
I'm so in love. How will this affect my taxes?
Oh, please.
I plan to get married. How will this affect my taxes?
Visit eFile.com. Taxes made simple at eFile.com.
What if I don't know what to deduct on my tax return? Taxes just scare me, but I really need my tax refund fast. I'm currently unemployed. How will this affect my taxes? How much tax refund will I get back?
Visit eFile.com. Less taxing, more yours. Done at eFile.com.
Independent Power Systems is an authorized distributor of Kyocera high-quality, high-performance solar electric systems and modules.
and a proud sponsor of AM 760 Radio. Did you know that electricity rates have gone up by 38% in the last year, and Xcel Energy has recently reduced the Solar Rewards rebate again? Act now before the opportunity to take advantage of the best solar rebate in the country passes you by. Call Independent Power Systems today to learn how incentives pay for up to 50% of the cost of a solar electric system. That's up to $30,000 off the regular cost. Let Independent Power Systems show you how the 30% federal tax credit and the Xcel rebate make now the best time ever to buy a solar system. Call Independent Power Systems today at 303-443-0115. That's 303-443-0115. Or visit solarips.com to learn more. That's solarips.com. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
Call the Foundation for Healthier Living at 1-800-500-8094. That's 1-800-500-8094.
Hey guys, Valentine's Day is coming fast. Pro Flowers is offering one dozen roses starting at just $19.99. That's $19.99 for one dozen roses with a 7-day freshness guarantee. Plus, get a free glass vase when you order today. Where else can you find Valentine's roses for just $19.99? To guarantee delivery by Valentine's Day, click on the Pro Flowers ad showing now. Or visit ProFlowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and enter password HOT19. That's ProFlowers.com, radio microphone, password HOT19.
Now at the Home Depot, get any carpet installed for just $97. All brands, all styles, all through your home, just $97. And with our low prices on carpet, you can get your whole project done for the lowest total cost. So you can stop putting it off and let us start putting it in. With basic whole house carpet installation for just $97. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, license numbers, and price match policy.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM 760.net.
CBS News, I'm Dave Barrett. Despite a loss of 20,000 jobs across the country, the January jobless rate was down 0.3% from December, down to 9.7%.
We wanted to see job creation in January, but some of the internal job gains were quite good last month. We saw some gains in manufacturing. We saw temporary workers up 52,000. That was good news.
That's Jill Schlesinger, editor-at-large at CBSMoneyWatch.com.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. Economic advisor Christina Romer looks at this report and sees encouraging signs of a labor market that's healing, but she warns that unemployment is still a severe problem. Revisions in previous reports issued by the Labor Department show the total job loss since the start of the recession was more than 1 million than previously estimated.
After a week of confronting gas pedal and brake problems, Toyota's CEO apologized today in Japan.
Speaking from the embattled carmaker's headquarters in Nagoya, Toyota's chief Akio Toyoda says the company is creating a new global quality committee. Local reports say the panel will look at design, manufacturing, and service, train quality control teams, and hold periodic quality checks by outside experts. Lucy Kraft, CBS News, Tokyo.
Prius brake systems are getting probed, and those gas pedal repairs are being made by Toyota dealers in the States. Brakes might feel strange on Ford Fusions or Mercury Milan hybrids. 17,000 are now going to be fixed. It's already snowing in Virginia. Washington, D.C. will really start to get hit after sundown. It's when the snow will begin to fall at more than an inch per hour. Pretty busy at a Lowe's where Ned Beerpoint's seen these go up the checkout lanes.
A lot of shovels, a lot of ice melt, water, batteries. A lot of snow throwers, and we're selling a bunch of generators, too.
Could be up to 2 feet of snow from this storm that'll bombard the mid-Atlantic region. An explosion in Karachi, Pakistan today as a motorcycle was rigged with explosives, and that blast killed a dozen people. Then another bomb went off at a hospital. 10 more people died at that hospital that was treating wounded from the first attack. Many U.S. casualties in Afghanistan occur when convoys are attacked, and now Defense Secretary Robert Gates says more MRAPs, vehicles that are resistant to mines, are being made available to allies on Afghan turf.
The United States will now do whatever we can within the limits of U.S. law and as soon as we can to provide as many surplus MRAPs as possible to allies, especially those operating in high-risk areas.
An involuntary manslaughter charge could be brought against Dr. Conrad Murray, personal doctor for the late Michael Jackson. Murray does plan to surrender to cops in L.A. this afternoon. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 31 points. This is CBS News.
Now at the Home Depot, get any carpet installed for just $97. All brands, all styles, all through your home, just $97. And with our low prices on carpet, you can get your whole project done for the lowest total cost. So you can stop putting it off and let us start putting it in. With basic whole house carpet installation for just $97. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, license numbers, and price match policy.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy. Photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. The upcoming demise of one of the airlines at DIA could mean some disappearing jobs. Lynx Aviation flies the Frontier banner to a number of destinations, but Republic Airways will take over those routes, and that will put Lynx out of business. Lynx has about 400 employees. Quite a few will be offered new jobs with Frontier or Republic, but as many as 175 workers could lose their jobs. Police in Vail say three graffiti artists could face felony charges for causing about $10,000 worth of damage in a single day. Prosecutors say the three damaged property belonging to the city and to Vail Resorts. Olympics fans are getting ready for quite a fireworks show in Steamboat Springs tonight. More than 5,000 are expected to pack the courthouse lawn tonight to wish local Olympic athletes good luck next week. Steamboat has 17 athletes competing in the Winter Games. Two former Denver Broncos will find out tomorrow if they will be among the newest members of Pro Football's Hall of Fame. Shannon Sharp and Floyd Little are on this year's ballot. The Nashville Predators beat the Colorado Avalanche last night 5-3. The Nuggets play the Lakers tonight in Los Angeles. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where police are still working on a couple different crashes right around the same area, though. Both of them northbound I-25 near Alameda. We're seeing single-digit speeds on that approach to Colorado, taking you all the way up to those accident scenes. So it's going to cost you about 30 to 40 minutes as you're trying to get from the tech center towards downtown. There is a little bit of curiosity slowing as well for southbounders on I-25. Westbound I-70, a little bit sluggish on that approach to Kipling. We'd had an earlier wreck there off the highway. Are cleaning up a crash, 48th and Vasquez. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a cloudy day with a high in the mid-40s, currently 31 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly and plow far and wide. Very wide. Slow down when approaching a snowplow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Talk, you know, one thing you can't say about our show. You can't say that we stay, well, I hope you can't say it, that we bore you to death with one topic. We try to move around real quick. I mean, we just went from... We went from video games to John Hickenlooper to Kevin Nealon. I mean, that's pretty, you know.
Don't forget about the climate report and how
and the climate report about how it affects our skiing all in 1 hour. I mean, you can't, you can criticize me for sometimes being a schmuck, sometimes being a jerk, sometimes being a hothead. But we try to keep it interesting here. I mean, I know I'm patting myself on the back and I'm having a beer right now. Turk and I basically decided to come in. We don't have a brewer in studio. It is Friday. We don't have a brewer in studio. So we just decided to surprise each other with a beer each, and we're going to, or a couple beers each. I brought in The Hercules Double IPA from Great Divide. We have not had Great Divide in here. And Turk is going to bring in his special a little bit later. And before we get to that, by the way, this Double IPA, this is some nice stuff. Turk, you having some?
I'm sipping it right now.
It's really
it's a Double IPA. It's extremely hoppy.
I love it.
Somewhere between like 90 and 110 IBUs.
You're such a beer geek, man.
I'm learning a lot about beer, and I'm starting to enjoy it.
Well, I'm definitely learning a lot as well. I don't know very much. I used to drink Natty Light. Not anymore.
Natural
Although, light. I guess last week we did.
Sometimes, yeah, a Natural Light tastes good, or a PBR, or a Schlitz, or something like that. You know, sometimes you just want something like that.
Yeah, that's true. All right, joining us now, speaking of moving around a lot, joining us now is Christy Harvey, as always this week. Hey, Christy, how you doing?
Okay, I know that I'm really bad at time zones. What time is it there?
It's 9 a.m. Or 9:08, actually. What are
so
you?
Like,
you're like laughing at us for drinking beer.
Again? Is this like?
No. We do this every. You know, it's Colorado. Hey, it's Friday. You know, we have a take the edge off. Now.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It is.
I got to tell you, next time you're back east, there is a place called Rustico that's open right outside of D.C. It's in Alexandria, and that you can get a working man's bucket of beer. And
no
it's a
way.
Schlitz, a PBR. A
like
Miller.
A bucket, like a steel bucket?
It's a steel bucket.
Oh, my God.
And it's a Schlitz, a PBR, a Miller Genuine Draft, the champagne of beer.
A woman after my own heart, a
it's
bucket
awesome.
Of beer. Wow.
It's awesome.
Now, Christy Harvey, of course, everybody who listens to this show knows who you are. I will just introduce her to people who are just tuning in. Christy Harvey works for the Center for American Progress. Check her website, micheckradio.org. We have her on every week to discuss some of the stories that we missed for the week. Now, the first story that I want to go over with you, again, it makes me think of this quote from Coming to America.
Now, this is the place that I was telling you about. It's real f***ed up.
Yeah, this is a really messed up story, this new Republican poll. Tell us about this poll, about the Republican mindset and how messed up it really is.
Well, I actually think this explains a lot. I read this and went, okay,
now you get
it. Now I get it. So this is a new Rasmussen poll that was released yesterday, and they asked Republican voters, okay, if we give you the choice, would you rather have a balanced budget with higher taxes or a budget deficit with tax cuts?
We're not talking about the country as a whole. We're talking about just Republican voters.
Yes, just Republican voters.
Okay.
Which one would you rather have?
And what did they say?
Interesting, in light of everyone. And the Tea Party convention is, of course, this weekend. And the big mantra in the Republican Party today, not a couple years ago, but today, is gasp, deficits, I'm swooning. And so 41% say they'd rather have a deficit with tax cuts, and only 36% said that they want a balanced budget with higher taxes.
That's the rank-and-file Republican voters.
Yes. I would rather have a big country deficit be in the red if my taxes could get cut, rather than I'll pay a little bit more and let's get the country's deficit.
What do you make of that? I mean, what do you think? I mean, is this? I mean, this sort of goes back to my idea that it's the me first, screw everybody else idea. Is that what you think?
50-50. I think half of it is that, and I think the other half is that. And this is just me being very frank. I think that a lot of Republicans probably didn't listen to the whole question. I think there's a lot of people, I'm dead serious, who are just tuned in and so conditioned by people like Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh to, when they hear tax cuts, to go, that one. You know, it could have been like, would you rather have, I don't know, like something horrible happen and have tax cuts? Or would you rather have a lovely life with higher taxes? Tax cuts. I think it's a sort of a Pavlovian response sometimes.
It's like programmed. It's
right.
30, 40 years of programming that tax cuts are the solution to all of our problems. And I just want to reiterate, we are seeing this again at the local level right here in our state. We're seeing, you know, the Democrats have a plan here to temporarily suspend 13 special tax exemptions for various corporations. I'm not kidding when I tell you. One of them that exists right now is a tax exemption for bulk mailers, for junk mail.
Right.
And the idea of temporarily suspending them, as the Democrats here propose, the Republicans are saying you're waging a war on business. It's a, you know, somehow suspending a tax exemption temporarily a special tax exemption, like the company doesn't have to pay the taxes everybody else has to. Right. Somehow that's a tax increase.
Yeah, I never get that mentality. I never get it. But
I should ask you this. Do you think it's fair for the Republicans? And granted, you're a progressive, so you bring
yeah,
your...
Yeah, but I'm pretty moderate.
You are pretty moderate, and you come from Delaware.
My moderate stuff sometimes.
You come from Delaware, which is a pretty moderate place, and you live up in Alaska, which is really... Sorry, it's not moderate. It's Republican. But, you know, when the Republicans are accusing Obama now of raising taxes simply by not pushing in his budget to reauthorize President Bush's top income tax cuts.
Right.
It doesn't seem to me that if all President Obama is doing is not proposing new legislation to extend George Bush's tax cuts for the top people making over $250,000 a year, it seems to me calling him a guy who's raising taxes by doing that is like dishonest is an understatement. I don't even know what to call that. Because he's just saying, I don't want to extend the tax policy.
Let's get back to normal. He's saying, we did this.
We tried it.
And George Bush went from normal to an abnormal state.
Right.
And let's just let that expire and get back to normal.
Yeah, and I find it fascinating that the congressional Republicans, right, the congressional Republicans who pushed the bill that had in the bill the expiration clauses.
Yeah.
I find it fascinating that they are now saying that Obama is trying to raise taxes simply by not amending the bill that the Republicans themselves passed.
Well, it's one of the top political tricks of Washington. You fight to put the expiration date in so you look very responsible. And like, oh, I'm just doing this until we're all okay. And then, look, there's an expiration date. And then when the expiration date comes, you are shocked, just shocked, that it would expire, and hope that everyone forgot that you were the one supporting the expiration.
Although, let me ask you this question. You worked in Washington for a while before you moved to Alaska, and I worked in Washington for a while.
So
we worked together in Washington. I have this feeling that it's not just... Yeah, there was this whole talk when they let the tax cuts expire, that they wrote into it that they were doing that so that the impact on the deficit when the Congressional Budget Office would come back would look lower than it really was.
Right.
Except I think there was a pernicious strategy behind it. I think that they were like, look, it can't be bad for us to have another debate over cutting taxes in 10 years. So let's actually manufacture that debate by putting the expiration clauses in so that 10 years from now, when they expire, we can once again reopen the whole anti-tax debate.
Exactly.
Am I being a conspiracy theorist?
No way. I don't think there's such a thing as being too conspiracy theorist when it comes to Washington these days. No, I think you're right. And I think that my personal belief on that is I think that's exactly why they did it with estate taxes, you know, so that they can bring that up and get everybody's blood running and hot every few years. And it does nothing but help support the base, support Republicans, and so I think they know what they're doing.
And the Democrat and the Republicans argue, by the way, the same thing about Democrats. They would say that when the Democrats, and of course they would oppose this, but there has been talk that the Democrats should pass a bill on the minimum wage instead of, you know, upping the minimum wage every few years by legislation. You could put in a clause that says the minimum wage will track inflation.
Right.
But there's this idea that the Democrats want to have the fight. They want to have the fight. And, of course, every, you know, one out of 10 times they win that fight. And it may be better policy to not have the fight. But there's an interest among the parties in actually waging these fights. It's how they raise money. It's how they draw attention to themselves. It's how they run their campaigns. I agree with you. I don't think you can be too conspiratorial when it comes to Washington these days. Let's turn to another story. Again, we're talking with Christy Harvey of the Center for American Progress Fund. Her work and her website at miccheckradio.org. It's a project of the Center for American Progress.
I have one kicked out, though, that I wanted to
ask fire
about.
Away. Go ahead.
Specifically, and this was from this week, but I know that you talked about the don't ask, don't tell stuff,
mm-hmm.
And you know, everyone has been talking about John McCain's flip-flop.
Right.
You know, in 06 saying, I'll do whatever the generals say. And then when the generals say,
what do you think that's about?
I think he's crazy. No, I think that...
I mean, that's a fair explanation.
the generals were saying what he wanted them to say in 06. There was not an overt support for don't ask, don't tell.
Oh, I see.
And then once the generals were saying something else, he says, I'm disappointed in you. You're biased.
I see.
But the same thing happened also this week. It didn't get as much attention. But you've got Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell was talking on CNN, and they were asking him about trying the detainees from Guantanamo in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
And John King asked Mitch McConnell, okay, here's the thing. You know, you have frequently said, we must listen to the commanders on the ground. We must listen to the generals. General Petraeus, your big hero, says that we must try these guys in civilian courts because if we do it in military tribunals, it will be a huge recruiting tool for Al-Qaeda. What do you say to that?
What does Jim McCain say to it?
What does McConnell say to it?
McConnell said, right. What does he say?
Minority leader. And McConnell said, I simply disagree, and so do the American people. So my question is, what is with all of the Republicans flipping on the generals?
I didn't think about it that way. That's right. You know, if you put McCain next to McConnell.
And for the past, you know, year at least, and actually no longer, it was, we got to listen to Petraeus. We can't do anything. We can't pull out of Iraq or start to have a plan to get out of there until we talk to Petraeus. And we can't do anything about don't ask, don't tell until we talk to the generals. And the generals are coming back and saying, gotta end don't ask, don't tell, it's stupid. And it's horrible to have these trials in a military
tribunal,
it does to the world.
You're absolutely right.
And they're like,
right.
Now we hate the generals.
Now we hate the generals, right. Except here's the thing. Now, let's set aside, because I agree with you. It is the Republicans, they are being completely hypocritical. They say, cite the generals, they hide behind the generals when the generals are doing what they want them to do, and then they criticize the generals when the generals don't do what they want them to do. But here's the thing. I just want to float this back to you, because let's stipulate that the Republicans are a bunch of hypocritical jackasses. Okay,
okay.
Absolutely. Here's the one thing that I get nervous about. I get nervous about, I'm not saying you're saying this, but I get nervous about a political culture that says we always have to defer to the generals.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? I know you're not saying that, but what I'm saying is that, and maybe call me an eternal optimist or a crazy person. Maybe they're both the same. Maybe they're one and the same. But especially these days, these dark days. But maybe in the Republicans being so hypocritical, they're opening up the possibility that, hey, we can actually question and challenge the generals, and that the role of the elected leadership in this country is not to simply take orders from the military leadership in this country. All due respect to military leaders, right? That we have a constitution that's set up for us to question military leaders. Now, I'm not saying that the Republicans are questioning or challenging the generals, honestly. I disagree with the policy they're challenging or the thrust of the policy that they want done. But what I'm saying is, perhaps we may be reaching a moment where it's like, hey, if both parties are now at certain points questioning the generals, maybe at a meta level, that's something good. Am I being too optimistic?
No. And in the larger and abstract version of this, I think that that's really good.
In the short-term, real-world version of it, it's probably not so good that the Republicans are being so hypocritical.
Well, it's really hypocritical, A. And B, they also are very into, let's do whatever the generals say when it comes to war policy.
Right.
Where
right.
War policy is actually larger than just a fight. You've got the diplomacy, you've got the
That's right.
you know, strategy. But when it comes to, this is how we're running the military
That's
internally,
right.
then they oppose and say, oh, no, we know what's better about, you know.
That is such a good point, Christy. That is such a good point. You're right. When it comes, that's the Republicans. That's really where they are dangerous. They say we can never question the military when it comes to defense spending and to how a war is being waged, how our foreign policy in general is being waged. We can never question them. We should just escalate wars, et cetera, et cetera. But when it comes to the social policy of how to run the military, or really, and now with the military commissions, the legal system,
mm-hmm.
right? You're exactly right. That's the distinction they make, and it's really a frightening distinction. And I got to say, I think, and this is, I know I'm kind of against some public opinion here, but I think what the Republicans are doing right now on this military commission stuff, and we can't try people in civilian court, I think it's actually the most dangerous thing that I've seen in my entire time in politics, in the sense of And the Iraq war stuff was really dangerous because the Iraq war is horrible and endangers our country. But this is a fundamental challenge to the Constitution. I mean, they are actually out there now saying that the civilian justice system that we rely on is so utterly unreliable and unable to incarcerate the worst kinds of terrorists that we should simply scrap it.
And now we should be very, very worried about, I mean, there's tons of terrorists in the system. There's tons of terrorists who've been tried by the system. There's tons of serial killers, murderers, very, very bad people. And so for them to play politics with this, which is all it really is, I mean, let's look it straight in the face, for them to pick this as their political rallying cry, to get the people who probably don't really know the difference or haven't really read up, or, I mean, I don't really, until I sat down and looked at it, I didn't really know the difference between a civilian trial and a military trial.
Right.
And so it's easy to get people all whipped up about it without having to rely on a lot of fact, and it has really long-term, long-lasting,
it has a huge, it,
very
and I,
bad ramifications.
I saw in the O'Reilly-John Stewart interview last night, O'Reilly was saying that, Stewart was making the point, why don't we just put these people in a, you know, we'll try them, they'll be put in a supermax prison, and O'Reilly was like, no, it's more safe in Guantanamo. We have a supermax prison right here in Colorado, and Obama has said no one has ever broken out of that. The idea that serial killers and rapists, I mean,
it's good enough for Jeffrey Dahmer.
That's what I'm saying. And literally, you have the Republicans and Fox News going out there and saying, actually, the implicit message is the Jeffrey Dahmers in your supermax prison, they're about to get out because it's
exactly.
Not safe. It's like this is the craziest
crazy
stuff
crazy
ever. All right, listen, we got to go. Christy Harvey of the Center for American Progress. Check her work at Mike Check Radio. It's always good to talk to you, Christy. And I'm telling you, Friday at 9.
I know.
Friday at 9, you should crack a beer.
You're that's still an hour and a half away from me, but
there you go. Well, you're up in Alaska.
Pour a little of your next one on the ground for your.
We will, and you're of legal drinking age. I want to be clear. I'm not endorsing that for people who are not of legal drinking age.
At this point, my kids could be of legal drinking age practically. So yeah, you could say that.
Christy, have a great weekend.
All right, bye bye.
Good talking to you. 925 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up next, your nominations for Schmuck of the Week. They're rolling in. We'll continue talking about John Hickenlooper. I'll fill you in also on some national news, the jobless rate, Democrats also, a new proposal, Democrats dangling out new tax cuts? I mean, as part of their jobs bill? I mean, does it ever stop? The idea that we got to keep cutting taxes? When does it stop? And also, in studio will be my dad. He will be drinking with us. We'll be taking your nominations for Schmuck of the Week, a couple of them rolling in. Give us a call. We got open lines, 303-713-7600, or instant message us, am760.net. Let's get a traffic update from Turk as he takes down some of the Great Divide Double IPA.
Hercules.
Oh, it's so good.
It is good, man. It's really good. And traffic not so good if you're heading into downtown. Northbound I-25 got a couple different accidents. One, the first one anyway, happened around 6th Avenue. Now we have one of the backups near Santa Fe. All this adds up to single-digit speeds. Traffic's barely moving from about University all the way up past 6th Avenue. Also slow going southbound side, Santa Fe to Broadway. Wet, slushy, and snow packed in spots on 70 from Vail to the Eisenhower Tunnel. Snow came down yesterday up in the high country. It is slick in spots. Your forecast today, mostly sunny, light winds, a high near 50. Right now it's 30 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
You switched your old synthetic oil for Castrol Edge. That's thinking with your dipstick. You like that Castrol Edge has 8 times better wear protection than Mobil 1. That's thinking with your dipstick. You enter a 15-round cage match against Smasher.
Bobby!
That's not thinking with your dipstick. Think with your dipstick. Upgrade to Castrol Edge. It's more than just oil. It's liquid engineering. Learn more at yourdipstick.com.
5W30s tested in industry standard sequence 4A wear test.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide.
plow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Because of what might happen 5 years from now when you've already moved. It's the biggest no-brainer in the history of Earth. Call Lennox Financial, 720-889-9400. That's Lennox Financial, 720-889-9400.
Well, beer, we've had some great times. When I was 17, I drank some very good beer.
Oh, yes. If it's Friday, we're drinking beer. If it's Friday in the 9 a.m. hour, we are drinking beer. It's been such a busy week. And we are drinking, this is courtesy of Turk. We just finished off the Hercules Double IPA. And now we are drinking, what is it? What is this called? How do you pronounce this?
I believe it's called Staropramen.
Staropramen.
It's from the Czech Republic.
It's our first import that we're doing.
Yeah, the first import.
It's very
definitely it's a light one for you, Dave.
It's good though. You said it's got a kind of a honey smell.
It's got a honey smell to it, but it's got, you know, just that really crisp, like, kind of, you know, Eastern Europe type flavor, man. I love it. It's my new favorite import.
I didn't know you drank imports.
Yeah, I do. I drink, you know, some of the German stuff and some of the Czech stuff.
And you're going to piss off a lot of Colorado people if you're drinking an import, dude.
Well, I'd only do it very occasionally or very rarely.
There's the disclaimer.
Very occasionally.
I love it. There's the disclaimer.
Yeah, no. So what do you think of the Staropramen?
It's very, very good. And
what does your dad think?
The honey. And my dad, I should mention, is in studio now. Say hello, Dad.
Hello.
There's my dad. My dad is in studio. My mom is in studio, too.
Is your mom drinking the Staropramen?
She's not drinking. We'll maybe give her a drink. She doesn't love beer. Yeah, she's going to get a sip. She's taking pictures, you know, like moms always
do. I can run to the liquor store and get some wine. Or
a Cosmopolitan.
A Cosmo.
Yeah, they're in from the East Coast visiting, and I invited them into the studio. And I guess we're taking nominations for Schmuck of the Week. Dad, do you have a Schmuck of the Week?
Is a company allowed to be a schmuck?
A company is allowed to be a schmuck, yes.
How about Toyota?
Okay, that's a good one. Toyota nominated now as a Schmuck of the Week. And we're getting other people's nominations at am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Let me fill you in on just a couple of national news stories that we haven't gone over yet. The jobless rate falls to 9.7% today. That's overall good news, although some people are asking whether it really is good news or not, whether it means a number of people dropped out of looking for work, because you're only counted as unemployed if you're looking for work and you can't find work. Now, this other story that I wanted to fill you in on, this just brings up this sound clip. We always play this sound clip when it's an I told you so moment, but really, this story about Democrats pushing new tax cuts.
You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you... You see what happens, Larry?
Do you see what happens? Haven't we learned the lesson that if you continue to engage in a debate over who can cut taxes the most, you will lose if you're a Democrat? Apparently the Democrats have not understood this lesson, because off the wire right now, Democrats dangle tax cuts to win Republican support for jobs bill. Senate Democrats are dangling tax provisions favored by the Republican Party in hopes of building bipartisan support for a jobs bill that the Senate Democrats plan to unveil on Monday. So they are pushing new tax cuts, claiming they're for deficit reduction. I mean, is there any wonder why the average American has no idea what the Democratic Party stands for? I mean, really, it's really pathetic. We are facing huge budget deficits, and the Democratic Party is talking about new tax cuts. It just boggles the frickin' mind. It boggles the mind.
Dave, can I interject here?
Fire away.
Because I got this awesome instant message from our buddy Kevin in Chicago. Dave, hey, Christy just gave me an idea for a poll question for Republicans. Would you prefer, number one, tax cuts but we kill your family, or number two, tax cuts but we kill you and leave your family alone? I'm guessing we'd see lots of dead families.
That's exactly right. That's what we're learning from that poll that she mentioned about how Republicans want tax cuts even if it means massive deficits. It's a telling poll about where the Republicans are. Now, let's get back to our discussion about John Hickenlooper. John Hickenlooper saying on our radio show yesterday, and it's made the Denver Post today, he's not going to take a position on Democrats in the legislature pushing to get rid of special tax exemptions for a couple of corporations. At the same time saying that the recession, part of the recession, a big part of the recession, is our mental attitude. Do you agree with John Hickenlooper? I don't agree with him. I mean, I agree that, yes, there's a mental component to it, but that even if everybody had the best attitude in the world, you'd still have fundamental problems with the economy. That's where I come down. And a couple of people have nominated Hickenlooper on our instant message as Schmuck of the Week. We'll go to the phones, see what you think. Let's go to Errol in Greeley. Errol, you're on AM 760.
Morning, Dave.
Morning.
If Hickenlooper is elected, the Democrats are going to lose. You're going to be the change. Would you ask Mike Miles to please consider running for the governorship so that we don't lose it? Next, the schmuck and my schmuck of the week is Barack Obama. First of all, he's down here messing in our primary, and he's backing the corporate candidate, and he said the dumbest thing I've ever heard since George Bush. He said he was talking about safe nuclear energy and clean coal, and neither of those exist. The man is absolutely in his ozone.
Well, you know, you've raised a couple of questions, and thanks for the call, Errol. You raised a couple of questions. I agree with you. I think that the White House and President Obama getting involved personally in a Democratic Senate primary is a huge problem. And that's that you're referring to the news that he is going to be coming to campaign and raise money for Senator Michael Bennet in Michael Bennet's primary challenge against former House Speaker Andrew Romanoff. And wherever you come down in that primary, I think if you're a Colorado voter, and if you're a conservative, a Republican, a Democrat, it doesn't matter where you are, I don't like the idea of the Democratic president coming in and telling Democratic voters, you should vote for this guy and not this guy. Or maybe I would get it if the guy that was running against Michael Bennet, Andrew Romanoff, was like, you know, there's a situation, by the way, in Illinois where the nominee for lieutenant governor, it's come out that he has been arrested for domestic violence. Now, if Andrew Romanoff had been arrested for domestic violence, I would get that the White House was coming in to say, hey, Democrats, you got to nominate the guy who wasn't arrested for domestic violence. Andrew Romanoff was the Speaker of the Colorado House, has a very solid record. And no matter where you come down between Bennet and Romanoff, I think they're both well-qualified candidates. I just don't like the idea of the White House thinking you can come into our state, the president thinks he can come into our state and say, hey, you got to vote for this guy and not this guy, and we're going to put the full weight and infrastructure of the White House behind this. I think there's really a problem with that. And it's the same thing, by the way, in the gubernatorial race. Right, we have all this media about how the White House called Hickenlooper and is now pushing Hickenlooper and trying to clear the field. It's like, what is the problem with democracy? Why can't we just allow elections to take place and not have political icons and political muscle men, strong men, come in and try to tell us how to wage our elections? It's a good nomination. Hey, thanks for the call, Errol. Let's go to Dan in Lakewood. Dan, you're on AM 760.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, listen, I like my lagers. I hear you like your ales, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly right, man. And Turk has gotten me onto the hoppiness of ales. Absolutely.
You know, I got you about 20 years. I've never developed a taste for ales. Maybe I will down the road.
It took me a while. It did. It took me a while, man.
Hey, here's the thing. You know, yesterday I was picking up beer at Applejack's, and I was listening to you talking to Hickenlooper, howdy doody, And one of the things that just really caught me was this attitude about we're going to create these real good-paying jobs, this kind of stuff, $12-$15 an hour. I don't really consider $12-$15 an hour in this day and age, in this economy, is a good-paying job.
Let's be fair to Hickenlooper. He wasn't saying it was a lot of money. He was saying it's a modestly living wage.
You live by yourself.
But yeah, well, and that's a good point. Look, that's a good point, Dan. And I want to make an additional point to you. Whether it's Hickenlooper or anybody else, this is a big part of our debate now, right? We got the Republicans at the legislature now saying to replace the Democratic bill to get rid of these corporate tax cuts, they want to cut public employee pay. Down in Colorado Springs, this is in my column in the newspaper today. You can find it on our website, am760.net. You've got the CEO of the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs saying the way to deal with their problems is to reduce average municipal workers' pay to $24,000 a year. That's basically at the poverty line. So this is the question that we're all facing, right? And this is the question, and you've got to listen closely to what our political leaders, as you were doing, Dan, are saying about this. Where do they think we need to be in order for people to get by? What income levels do they think are acceptable and not acceptable? Because this is where the debate is going, right? This is where it's going. And unless they hear from us that, hey, $10-$15 an hour is not okay, hey, $24,000 a year, that's not a well-growing economy. Unless they hear from us about that, believe me, they're going to keep pushing that nonsense. And it's going to be keep being called in the media as pragmatic. And, oh, these guys are pragmatic and serious. Hey, Dan, thanks for the call. 9:39 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up next, we'll fill you in on just a few more national stories, including a bill to force CEOs, corporate CEOs, if they air political commercials, to say they support this message. Pretty interesting proposal after a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, I'm boycotting the Broadmoor. That's what I'm going to do. I mean, I like to go. It's an expensive place to go.
I've never been.
Five-star resort, great golf courses, great five-star restaurants. But you know what? I'm done with the Broadmoor.
I've never been, and
I would suggest all of our listeners maybe, hey, if this is how you want to treat your employees in Colorado Springs,
it's one thing
like the people that clean the beds there at the Broadmoor.
That's what I'm saying. It's like one thing to pay people that way.
Seriously,
it's another thing. But here's
boycott
the thing,
Turk.
It's one thing to pay people that way. It's another thing to go out into the media
and say it
and brag about it.
I know.
Just say, like, be like, hey, we're awesome. We pay people near the poverty line.
Burn.
I mean, it's a real problem.
You know, I hate to say it, but that guy just, seriously. Quick throat shot.
You know what? You've motivated me. I haven't told you my schmuck of the week. My schmuck of the week is the CEO of the Broadmoor.
Yeah. I mean, he gets my vote, too.
There we go. Schmuck of the week. All right.
Glad we agree on that. And to traffic, Dave. Traffic is pretty good for us in most parts of the city, except for 25 northbounders, barely moving still from about Evans all the way to 6th Avenue. A couple different crashes. One at Santa Fe and another up near 6th Avenue. Complete mess. Get off 25 if you can between the Tech Center and downtown if you're heading northbound. Your forecast today should be fairly nice. Sunny skies, breezy, mild, a high of 48. The weekend looks also good. Tomorrow, anyway, windy, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-upper 40s, but Sunday cold with a 30% chance of snow and a high of 36. Currently 30 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Lots of companies want to buy your gold. They just won't pay you what it's worth. At Fast Cash Gold Centers, you'll get 40% more for your gold in cash and on the spot. So don't get ripped off. Get what your gold's really worth at Fast Cash, 11 locations, or fastcashgoldcenters.com.
Guys, Valentine's Day is almost here. If you have someone special this Valentine's Day, send them a dozen assorted roses from Pro Flowers for just $19.99 before shipping and tax. Regardless of your other plans, it's a great way to show your appreciation. 12 roses for $19.99, a free glass vase, and a 100% freshness guarantee. To ensure delivery by Valentine's Day, click on the ProFlowers ad showing now. Or visit ProFlowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and enter password HOT19. That's ProFlowers.com, radio microphone, password HOT19.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text 411-247.
First, it says that during the Great Depression, people were greedy for gold coins because no one wanted to face economic turbulence without the security of gold. The government finally took them out of circulation, and a government meltdown was ordered. That's why most of us have never even seen a classic U.S. gold coin. But recently, a stash was discovered in Europe. Gleaming U.S. gold coins minted between 1866 and 1933, all uncirculated. It says the New York Mint is releasing them to the public on a first-come, first-served basis when you call, here it is, 1-800-600-9425. Wouldn't that be amazing to hold U.S. history? Okay, if you want that free historical information and the free collector's DVD, the number to call is 1-800-600-9425. 1-800-600-9425.
Introducing the new Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express. The only charge card that earns triple points on airfare, double points on gas and groceries, a single point on everything else. Points you can use for over a million rewards, including travel on any airline, anytime. The annual fee for the first year is on us, and you can earn 10,000 bonus points with your first purchase. Start earning brilliantly. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com to apply.
See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
And now, two more facts you didn't know. Fact one, a large swarm of locusts can consume 20,000 tons of food a day. Fact two, when you have Geico auto insurance, you could save even more by letting Geico help you with your homeowner's or renter's insurance. Call Geico or visit geico.com today to see how much our new multi-policy discount could save you. Imagine 20,000 tons of food a day. That's almost as much as a teenager eats.
Nowadays, when I talk with folks, they know Geico could save them hundreds on their car insurance. But what they want to know is how Geico does it. Well, I say, we got tons of great discounts, like good driver discounts, multi-car discounts. And they say, there's no secret formula. And I say, nah, it's just what we do. And then sometimes they say, maybe a talking gecko's a secret. Well, I wouldn't know what to say about that.
Geico. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're drinking, Turk, what are we drinking? Turk just brought this over.
Turk. And we're drinking a real tasty one from, it's Green Flash Brewing Company. It's called their Hophead Red.
It's,
you know, one of those Southern California,
right?
Yeah, it's got a little more malt to it, but it is hoppy as well. So it's got, you know, kind of like, you know, like a red ale mixed with a IPA, basically, is what it is.
And you were saying that that probably the malt is what makes it a little bit more red.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I have to be honest, I don't like the malt as much as I've become a hophead.
I remember when you used to be the malt guy.
I was the malt guy. I know.
You, about 6 months ago, you were Mr. Malt.
I know, it's like crazy. I guess.
And now the
palate changes. The palate changes. We're talking about. John Hickenlooper, Mayor John Hickenlooper, and his statements. I want to play a little clip from you. This is what was making news. This is from our interview with him yesterday. Now it's in the Denver Post and in a couple of other places across the Colorado media scape. This is controversial comments from John Hickenlooper about the economy. Listen in.
And this is a hard thing for a lot of people to get, but it's a recession like this really is driven by people's mental state, right? When people become fearful. And, you know, I think both parties have a segment of a portion of their party that is about fear and fearfulness and a portion that's about opportunity. And that what we have to do is get people away from the fear and towards opportunity. We have no less capacity today to make concrete or steel or to create jobs and have businesses grow than we did 3 years ago.
Now, I disagree with that last part. I think we do have less capacity to do those things because I think the economy has been fundamentally injured. But I think that the controversy is whether he's right or wrong. Is this recession in part mental or is it more tangible? 303-713-7600. We're also taking your nominations for Schmuck of the Week. And before we get two more of your nominations, we have my dad in studio as well. We're drinking beer. He's in town visiting for the weekend. And I have a question for you because we also talked to John Hickenlooper about marijuana. My dad is a physician back in Philadelphia. And I have a question about marijuana policy because there's a big debate going on here about whether to legalize medical marijuana. And I'm going to put you on the spot here. There was a story a couple weeks ago that said that the State Department of Health claimed claimed, and I had a discussion with my brother Jeff about this as well, who is also a physician, where the State Department of Health claimed that there was a six-fold increase in emergency room visits because of marijuana. Now, I said at the time, I don't really understand why you go to the emergency room for marijuana. Like, I get maybe you did something else and you might have had marijuana or THC in your blood. Jeff said he didn't understand it either. Do you understand medically why somebody would show up at the emergency room?
No. No, I don't think marijuana causes anything more than alcohol causes.
But alcohol, I can understand showing up in the emergency room if you have alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, I don't know anything about ODs on marijuana.
Right, I mean, like...
You don't OD on marijuana.
You just... It doesn't...
No.
Right? I'm like, I'm not... When exist. I said that, because a couple of people instant messaged us and they said...
What are they coming in for?
Exactly. Well, Jeff said, my brother Jeff had said, well, actually what it might be is that they count it as you coming into the emergency room for marijuana if you come in with something else and you have THC in your blood. And there's like a checkbox that said, oh, you know.
We rarely test for THC, even in overdose.
Or maybe the patient said, yeah, look, I did this. What did you do? I smoked marijuana a day ago.
That's completely.
So the idea that marijuana is an emergency room problem now,
never
in your mind, it just.
Never has been in the last 30 years.
Okay, all right. And that's from one doctor, who I consider the greatest authority on being a doctor, of course, because he's my dad. We're taking your nominations again for Schmuck of the Week. Let me give a couple of nominations that are coming in over the instant message. And by the way, if you want to nominate me as Schmuck of the Week or Turk, feel free. You know, this is the time where you can attack me. No problem. I'm not perfect. Here's one. Guys, Schmuck of the Week is from Eric in Arvada. Schmuck of the Week is Mitch McConnell. He's literally at the point where he's leading the Republicans down a hypocritical path they can never return from, right? Mitch McConnell, also one thing he did this week was he said that foreign corporations should be able to buy our elections. And I should mention that there is a bill. I know I mentioned this before the break. There is a bill now, according to the Hill newspaper, a bill being supported by some Democrats to force CEOs to say they endorse this message if, after this Supreme Court case, now corporations can advertise against and for political candidates. There's a bill that would force CEOs, you know how politicians have to say, I'm so-and-so and I support this message. The bill would force CEOs whose corporations fund messages to say, I am this CEO of this company, I support this message. Pretty interesting idea. Let's go to the phones, 303-713-7600. We'll go to George in Lakewood. George, you're on AM760.
Hey, David, thanks for this great show, because I think we should be doing this all the time, pointing out all the rights and or wrongs. And in this case, I think the hick is loopy, because it's not mental. I mean, we can see that Bush drove us into the ground. Everybody knows it. The banks took advantage of the poor people and got all their money back. And then some of them take advantage of us more by not giving us the credit that is due to us and to our small businesses. They're just holding on to this money. So I think it's perfectly manufactured, and I think the overall message coming out of the conspiracy is that they're all basically trying to keep America down, and just in regards to overall growth. Because
you got a Schmuck of the Week, George?
Yes, I'm going to say Hickenlooper.
You're giving Hickenlooper Schmuck of the Week. All right, that's two votes for Hickenlooper for Schmuck of the Week, and a couple of them are coming in on AM760's website, am760.net. And look, I agree with you, man. The problem for me when I heard him say this was not that he was 100% wrong. What's kind of like, dude, you have to first and foremost acknowledge that part of the problem with the recession, a big part, was because of policies that were passed. You can't just say, oh, it's our attitude. You have to say, hey, we passed some policies that need to be changed. That's really what bothered me about it. Thanks for the call, George. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Ken in Westminster. Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Good.
Fire away.
Okay, I'm calling as an employee of the state. I work for CU. I work nights because that gives me a benefit of night differential. But I came out of industry to go to work into the local government or state government, whichever you want to call it. And, hey, I make $15 an hour less than what I did when I was working in the real world. I don't see where they're saying that this is a good thing, you know. And if you chop me down, that's going to put me into almost the poverty range. There's a lot of state employees that are out there that could probably fit into the food assistance program and in some of your utility assistance program that work full-time jobs.
Well, Ken, this is the thing to watch, right? This is where the debate is going now. You got Republicans in the legislature saying that the way to deal with our deficit is to cut city employee and state employee pay as much as possible. You got the Democratic nominee for governor, well, not the nominee, the presumptive nominee, Democratic nominee, presumptive nominee, John Hickenlooper, saying he doesn't want, he hasn't taken a position yet on taxes. So you've got a bad dynamic there, which says we can deal with our deficit by punishing people like you, by punishing state and public employees. And of course, down in Colorado Springs, you got the CEO of the Broadmoor saying that the way to, out of their problem is to cut employee pay, municipal employee pay, down to the poverty line. This is where the debate is going, and I'm telling you, until we all say no, we have got to have a tax debate. We have got to have a tax debate. And if, until enough of us say it's time for a tax debate, and give credit to Governor Ritter and the Democrats in the legislature for saying that it is time. But until more of us say that, that's where this debate is going. It's a real problem. Hang in there, Ken. 953 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Still working these accidents on northbound I-25 heading into downtown. A couple different ones causing speeds to really be slow in the single digits, barely moving from about Evans, back past Evans, actually, to 6th Avenue as you travel northbound. First, a crash at Santa Fe, another one up around 6th Ave. Also slow going southbound side from about 38th past Spear, also a little heavy from Santa Fe to Lincoln. Everybody's kind of slowing down, taking a look at that accident in the opposing lanes. Your forecast, sunny, breezy, mild, a high of 48 right now, 30 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Tax Smart at Office Depot. Buy any tax or QuickBooks software, and you get $1,100 in free software. After instant mail-in savings, upgrade mail-in savings require proof of prior quantities limited.
This is the theme to Forever Lovers, the movie I wanted to see. This is the theme to Hillbilly Hamsters, a big hit with kids. I searched online. I couldn't find the showtimes. It was the only other movie playing. How bad could it be? Very, very bad.
Yahoo Search delivers movie trailers, reviews, showtimes, theater info, and more. All on one page, right at the top. Just what you need. Just one search.
Next time I'm using Yahoo Search.
Days when I talk with folks, they know Geico could save them hundreds on their car insurance. But what they want to know is how Geico does it. Well, I say, we got tons of great discounts, like good driver discounts, multi-car discounts. And they say, there's no secret formula. And I say, nah, it's just what we do. And then sometimes they say, maybe a talking gecko's a secret. Well, I wouldn't know what to say about that.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
AutoZone. The last place you want to be this winter is stuck out in the cold with a car that won't start.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
If your battery is more than 4 years old, don't risk getting stranded. Let AutoZone check it out for you. And if it is time for a new one, make sure you get a Duralast. Duralast batteries are engineered to work in the most extreme conditions, and they're only available at AutoZone. So get to AutoZone today and keep your car running better longer.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. There is a move afoot I want to fill you in on. There's a move afoot to ask, I believe, and it just came in my email box right before we came on, but to ask President Obama to not or to add to his schedule a fundraising event when he comes to Colorado on February 18th for Michael Bennett, to add to his event a fundraising event for the general Colorado Democratic Party. There's a move afoot now that I'm getting word of, and we're going to fill you in on that next week. The idea is that President Obama shouldn't be bigfooting the Democratic primary here, especially since many Democrats who supported President Obama support House Speaker Andrew Romanoff for that U.S. Senate seat. Of course, Obama coming to endorse and to raise money for appointed Senator Michael Bennett. So there's a move afoot. We'll try to fill you in on that at the next week. We're getting your instant messages of Schmuck of the Week. And let's go back to the phones now. We'll go to Patricia in Denver. Patricia, you're on AM 760.
Great show, Dave, as always. I think Hickenlooper might ask himself, how about those people who got laid off in the city and county of Denver? And besides that, on the tax debate, how many kids will die in Denver before they provide more employees for the Denver Department of Human Services, the front page story on the Denver Post yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It was a brutal front page story. It really was.
Yes. So if he doesn't realize that more funds are needed, I just wonder how long it will take him to see more stories like that before he acknowledges.
Well, and in fairness, let's be fair to John Hickenlooper here. John Hickenlooper has been one of the only Democratic politicians in Colorado to go out on television in commercials and campaign for necessary tax reforms and tax increases to fund important local priorities. And he did that as mayor. What I'm troubled by is that he did it as mayor when it was a little easier, because Denver is a Democratic city. What I'm worried about is that he's not taking a position on a very pragmatic legislative initiative as a statewide candidate. And I asked this to him, and you can listen to the interview at am760.net, but I asked him, I said, you know, are you afraid that the anti-tax movement, the zealotry, will take center stage in a statewide race? And he sort of didn't answer that question. What I'm worried about is his change. And we got to stay on it, and we will stay on it next week and into the weeks ahead.
Have you heard about geothermal, the renewable energy that works even when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow? Not only is geothermal reliable, it can operate at 300 to 600% efficiency. Geothermal is the smartest and greenest way to heat and cool your home. That's why Major Geothermal and Can America Drilling teamed up to offer Denver the peace of mind that your geothermal project is done by some of the top professionals in the field. Climate Master Heat Pumps, one of the top heat pumps in the world, powers the geothermal system. Your geothermal project could also qualify for a 30% tax credit. The goal is to offer a personalized solution to your heating and air conditioning needs to help you maximize your efficiency and reduce your carbon footprint. Call Major Geothermal and Can America Drilling today. 303-424-1622. 303-424-1622. Or online at majorheating.com. Start living greener today.
Mario Solis Marriage.
Today on the Mario Solis Marriage Show, we'll talk about Rush Limbaugh and Sarah Palin at war and the guys from the Lowdown, Your Calls, Y Mucho Más.
Today at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM 760.